Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
Strangely, I don't think I've ever been more nervous at the beginning of an episode
of Best in Show! BestinShowRadio.com here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, the place to be. For the record, that whole screaming thing, it started in my mind as like a funny little joke, like, oh, they're so wacky. I actually just do it regularly. I have become a wacky, stupid internet radio DJ. Good thing you're listening. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, wacky fantasy cavalcade nonsense that we do here week in and week out on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears is the place to be. My name is Chris. I will be one of your co-hosts this evening. I will be here for 2 hours. If you want to call me and all my friends here, you can. Give it to me. 347-767-4BIS. One of those friends that's here with me, he wears a tie. He's handsome. His name is Keith.
Well, thanks a lot, Chris, and I'm going to be reading emails right now. Billy in Tacoma says, what's up?
How do you know he's from Tacoma? It's Billy at Tacoma.com?
All right. I made the whole thing up.
Real? Oh, wait, you don't even have a computer. I didn't even realize it.
But I have a tie.
You do have a tie, though. You do have a tie. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being a part of the program tonight. I'm glad you could make it.
I think it's funny that I am the one dressed appropriately in your work office.
I don't understand what you mean by that. I was wearing a button-up shirt before you got here, but I stripped down to my UFC t-shirt so everyone knows, hey, he hangs out. He wears t-shirts.
I think that, because it's uncomfortable. As much as I like wearing ties, it's uncomfortable. But I think it's worse. Like, I would be lazier trying to carry clothes here, even though it's just a matter of carrying a t-shirt in a bag, but it would bother me.
Why don't you just wear a t-shirt underneath? Do you wear an undershirt?
Yeah, but I hate just being in an undershirt.
Why don't you wear an undershirt that's actually a fashionable tee?
I could try that, but then all I can really wear is solid white because these shirts are see-through.
Why would you? Instead of wearing a see-through shirt, just wear a light shirt, a nice, like a Metropolitan shirt that says you're a fan of the New York Metropolitans.
I think it'll show through the shirt, though.
Wear dark shirts.
See, now you're changing my wardrobe around.
That's true. Speaking of dark shirts, look who's sitting in the producer's position. It's black-shirted Brown.
You could wear a black shirt under that, Keith. You could totally pull it off.
Why couldn't you?
Even if it would stick out?
It might, but I mean, especially with that
like
black...
Like a sore thumb?
Especially with that black tie? Come on. It would totally work. Try it next time.
You mean as a fashion statement?
Exactly. Do it. Yeah. Just roll Maybe. With it. What are they going to do? Are they going to give you like a little...
Roll with it Oasis style or roll with it Steve Winwood style?
I was thinking Steve Winwood, actually.
Arc of a diver. When I was in high school, the big thing, I went to a Catholic high school because I'm obviously very religious. But in senior year of high school, the thing that the fellas would do is they would wear their rock tees as sweaters over their shirts with their buttons. Why don't you go for something like that?
I hated that. Not only just with, oh, because of the Catholic school, you had to wear the I just hate the t-shirt over the long sleeve shirt look. like a lot of people do that.
Oh, like the skater thing with the long sleeve. Oh, I love that.
Oh, I hate that.
I think that's such an attractive look.
I hate the idea that the Slayer shirt is so important that you need to put it over your uniform so everyone knows.
Well, at Catholic school, wearing a Slayer shirt is important. There's no question about that. That's something that you need to be doing.
Political statement, not a fashion statement.
Right.
Well, that's okay. I can almost kind of see it at Catholic school, but as the skaters do it because they want to show their loyalty to whatever professional skater they happen to be wearing or whatever stupid T-shirt. Like, they're not doing it to try to keep warm. If they were doing that, they would wear the T-shirt under the long sleeve shirt. Because then they'd be layered. Then they could take the long sleeve shirt off, and they're comfortable with the short sleeve underneath.
I disagree. I think they're layered just the same way. They're adding the same amount of layers and insulating just the same way.
Yeah, but if they get too hot, they take off the T-shirt, and they're still wearing a thermal underwear.
No,
long
they could
sleeve
be
shirt
a long sleeve. A long sleeve T-shirt is not thermal.
Well, I mean,
if you wear a thermal shirt, then that's stupid.
That's what I usually see.
I think the thermal tee usually was the one underneath the rock shirt.
I disagree. I think you guys didn't see what you thought you saw. Long sleeve tees are cool and hip. And
I agree.
I'm planning to design a Best in Show long sleeve tee.
That's great. And what would you do? Put a short sleeve T-shirt over it?
Yes.
That's ridiculous. It's insanity. If you should have the long sleeve.
It's insanity.
It's insane. It makes no logical sense, and it's all about fashion. I feel really cold.
Do you understand
that
clothes are
sleeve shirt?
Do you understand that clothes are fashion?
No, clothes are just something that you wear in order to not be naked.
I understand black T-shirt, black sweatpants, black socks, black underwear. I understand that.
Yeah, but the skater goes out there. He's, you know, totally just he doesn't have the artifice of trying to be like some sort of fashion.
You could not possibly be more.
Well,
you,
I know.
Are you unfamiliar with the term poser?
That's exactly the point. You're a poser if you wear a T-shirt over your long sleeve shirt.
That's not true.
Yes,
is fashion art.
What's that?
Is fashion art.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what?
There's plenty of bad art out there. Yeah, fashion is art, sure.
I'm pulling an argument out of a movie, out of a reality movie, and I'm not even going to tell you what movie it is. But in this movie, two people have an argument about whether or not fashion is actually art. And I thought the guy saying it isn't was ridiculous, but to tell a fashion designer you're not an artist in a way was kind of odd. But,
right.
But his argument was also that a flower is art.
That's more, true.
You know,
it's art that Jesus made.
Jesus himself. He's in charge of the flowers.
If you take a picture of the flower or draw the flower, that's art.
But if you put it on a T-shirt and if you wear it underneath the thermal, you're straight.
It's art. It just is bad art.
But it's internal art. If it's under the shirt, if you wear it outside, it's external.
It's dumb art. Either way.
By the way, Keith Wu suggesting you should just wear a T-shirt and wear a flannel over it, and then you could take it off and tie it around your waist. It's more functional.
That's how I do it. That's how I.
You know what?
And then, like our friend James J. Spickle says. What is this, 1997? Flannel? Stop it. Stop it.
You know, we have that goodie box. I will give a prize.
What are you talking about? What goodie box do we have?
I will give a gift to anyone that by the end of this show can tell us what the movie was where they argued about whether or not fashion was art.
I know what it is. A Tibetan Freedom concert movie?
No.
Concert, because I can talk?
No.
Well, to be clear, I think making fashion is art. Someone...
But there's a guess in the chat room. Am I allowed to throw it out already? That our buddy James J. Spickle, the same, said Devil Wears Prada.
Nope.
Damn it.
That movie is not art, by the way.
I think it's a fine movie. I think Anne Hathaway did a terrific job. I love the movie. I've never watched it, but I'm a tremendous, tremendous fan of it.
I think maybe a designer, a person who actually sews and pieces together clothing, is actually an artist or can lay claim to actually making art. A person who goes to Kmart and shops for clothing is not an artist.
No, I agree. I think fashion design. More like
right.
it.
Not
it's
shopping,
art.
But to be clear, because there's a lot of designers out there who call themselves fashion designers that don't know how to sew and don't stitch anything. They
question.
Just go to stores and
but
buy
can they
things.
Draw it?
I have a question. By that logic, then, is an interior decorator an artist?
I don't think so. I think that's, okay. I mean, I guess some people would say it's collage, but I call it shopping. I think interior design largely is just shopping.
And you're entitled to your opinion. Just asking. I'm trying to gauge it. I'm trying to understand what goes on in that mind.
I've ruffled some feathers, I suppose. I mean, whatever.
The interior design community has now shunned Best in Show because of your thoughts.
it's pretty bold for me to be saying this. I'm clearly just saying my opinion, you know? I mean, yes, everything is art. It just going into a store and staring at a shelf, you're a performance artist. That's art is anything.
That was some great art.
Yeah. Art is anything but this show.
See, I disagree. I would think that this is artistic in the nature of like a shock art type of thing, because it's shock just art. Shocking.
Really. You know, if I leaned over your
it's
shoulder...
It's shocking that anyone would listen to this piece of garbage. That's the shocking part.
If I leaned over your shoulder correctly, I believe our friend Spickle is trying to defend his answer. I'm talking about a specific movie, which is...
He said documentary.
Which is, yes, it's a documentary.
A docudrama?
No. Although it's very dramatic. Where two people...
A docu-comedy?
A dramamentary?
A doc-tragedy.
I'll give more clues as we go along. It's a movie where two real people supposedly have a real argument, and I say supposedly because I don't trust anyone in front of a camera, but supposedly have a real argument about whether or not fashion is art. And even if he was right, when the New Jersey Nets got bypassed in the NBA lottery this week by the Philadelphia 76ers, another one of his scumbag teams, he would be disqualified automatically anyway.
Okay.
Wow. Wow, that's personal vendettas that are getting involved.
No,
here.
I like him. I just hate all his teams.
Personal. Yeah, I don't know. I'm so whoever lets us know what this movie is that Keith is talking about, we're going to give you something from
$1,000. One.
How about this?
Just Google it. How about come up with
no,
it?
No, no, no.
Seconds.
How about this? The first person who gets into the show tonight and lets us know what it is, you get your bracelet paid for June 5th. The Hoboken bar event that we're going to be having for Hear Us Talk for Frank from the DJ New Style Show's birthday. Your bracelet is paid for by the Best in Show radio program. Wow. That's right. It's
do
on
I
us.
To, wait, am I? Do I have to pay for this?
Yes, you do. Actually, Brian will be covering it for you if you call in with it. What about that?
Yeah, the first puzzle is getting the call to come through.
Exactly. it works out perfectly. Robin Hood, Men in Tights is being suggested. I'm going to guess that's probably not.
I don't
correct.
Think that's a documentary.
No, that's Robin Hood. It's just real Robin Hood. First clue, I brought it up. That's the first clue. And now let's move on.
Okay, awesome.
Does it involve Depeche Mode or Duran Duran in some way?
Yeah, I can't answer those questions.
I don't know. I stated at the beginning of the show that I do feel a little uncomfortable. By the way, if you do want to call, if you do want to try and be that person, try 347-767-4BIS, 347-767-4247. Even if you don't want to make a guess, you just want to talk about anything, feel free. Try. See what happens. See if we get you through here. I mentioned at the beginning of the show I was a little uncomfortable. I feel a little uneasy. I've actually never been hungrier at the beginning of a show than I am tonight for some reason. And I've eaten today. I've eaten like a gentleman. I didn't have some green smoothie crazy crap today. I actually ate. I actually had a nice grilled cheese with tomato and mushroom sandwich this afternoon. I even had a slice of pizza this afternoon as well.
Mushroom on a grilled cheese and tomato?
It's the best thing I've ever had in my life this week.
I'm so grossed out by mushroom lately.
Oh, mushroom's my favorite.
I enjoy mushrooms, but I wouldn't think to put it on a grilled cheese
it's
and
terrific.
Tomato sandwich.
It's stunningly, stunningly terrific. This week, actually, it's my new thing. Like I said, it's my new favorite thing in the world this week. But more important than any of this, like I said, I mentioned pizza. I went to the pizzeria up the street from my job this week, this morning, this afternoon, whatever, and found a slice that I had no idea had ever existed before. And was so mad that I never thought of it before and I've never seen it any place before. And now I'm going to mention it and be like, oh my God, isn't this great? And you guys will be like, yeah, I've had it 20 times.
This happened to me through 2 or 3 years ago.
Ravioli yeah. pizza.
Meh. So just raviolis on pizza?
Raviolis on the pizza.
Yeah.
That to me is the same as that. Sorry, that penne pizza.
Which is great.
But it's like you, when you pick up food and it's heavy to hold, you really feel bad about eating it.
Yes, Steve the LARPer, there is cheese on top. I think that was his joke saying, what, did the pizza have cheese on top? No, I'm raviolis.
Well, it's cheese ravioli, first
obviously,
of all, right?
Obviously, okay. I'm not a heathen.
Now, is it a 2 or 3 raviolis happen to be on top of the slice like they treat pepperoni, or is it covered with like a...
No, they do it like they treat pepperoni.
Okay.
Okay. And ricotta cheese in there, which I like to call arigo.
What kind of cheese?
I say arigo, but
that's what you call ricotta?
Yeah, arigo.
Okay.
Obviously. What? What's wrong with that?
And nothing's wrong with that.
Let's not go down this road again. How many times?
I hope hundreds. But ricotta cheese. There's ricotta cheese inside of this pasta. Underneath the cheese, above the sauce, sauced up onto it. I'm blown away by ravioli pizza, and I've never had it before. I've never seen it before. Have you seen it before? Maybe you're not a ravioli person, so you didn't care.
I like ravioli, but when I eat ravioli, not for the cheese or for the – I eat it as like a something by which to – that I can consume sauce. So it gets in a bowl with like a lot of red sauce or something that I can like eat the – or even meat sauce.
Ravioli?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Just any excuse to eat like.
I'm gonna put you in a category with I think I'm gonna start putting together a list of friends whose taste I think is dog crap, and you are firmly. I'm not gonna say at the top of the list, but you're damn close to the top of that list.
What do you eat your ravioli with? Just cheese?
No, I have it with sauce, but I have it with sauce, but I don't look at a ravioli as a device by which to deliver me sauce. Yeah. The same way that you look at lobster as a device by which to deliver you butter.
Yes.
You are garbage. Your taste is garbage. You're stupid. You like to put hot sauce on everything. You're dumb. You have no sense of taste. You're a dumb, stupid jerk.
I am not a jerk.
I beg to differ. And I will even go beyond your taste. You're a jerk, so you can't fight that argument. But your taste is garbage.
When I was avoiding sauce for a while, I had ravioli, and I realized that they're so good when you just eat them without sauce.
Of course.
Even.
If you put a little bit of butter on them,
you don't even have to put
I know
anything.
You don't have to, but you put a little bit of butter on them, holy Christ almighty.
So they're just a device for butter for you then.
Obviously.
I think everything's a device for butter for Brian.
Yeah, really. I've been doing lots of butter lately, but... I mean, a lot of butter, like way too much butter. I'm cooking with maybe twice as much butter as I usually use. And after I'm done cooking, I put butter. Now, when I make omelets, I take a stick of butter and I rub it around the plate. Like I rub
it around my mouth to make sure that the eggs will get in my mouth smoothly.
Instead of it, I usually would take a little bit of butter and kind of dab it onto the omelet itself. But it wasn't enough butter. So I'm taking the stick of butter and I'm just rubbing it around the plate so that the entire plate is coated like with a thin sheath of butter that I can kind of roll the thing around.
Seems pretty gross, but okay.
I'm eating tons of butter.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
It shows.
I bet you it does. Yeah.
I don't know. In your lubricated personality. That's what I was talking about.
I'm thinking ravioli on pizza is sort of like ravioli's good and pizza is good, but it seems
they're
like
two great tastes that taste great together.
It seems like it's bad for the ravioli and it would be bad for the pizza.
I guarantee
it ruins the pizza.
At the end of tonight's program, in 1 hour and 40 minutes, please come with me to the pizzeria up the street and have
a
ravioli slice if they have any left. Because they go like hotcakes, except if hotcakes were ravioli pizza, which sells faster than hotcakes. That's not even food.
What, pancakes?
By the way, our buddy Steve LaLarpa was saying in the Pal Talk room, he was talking about fried raviolis. I imagine that if you put fried raviolis on top of pizza, that might even be better. Might even be better. I'll go that way. But yeah, I'm annoyed at myself. And I'm a guy who worked at a pizzeria for years. I prided myself on inventing pizzas. I created the taco pizza at my pizzeria. I'm sure it existed someplace before that. But I was convinced that I created taco pizza. I was convinced I created salad pizza. You know, I was obsessed with like doing weird things with pizza, and ravioli never even dawned on me. And we made raviolis at a pizzeria, and I'm mad at myself for it.
Rarely is weird pizza good. Rarely does the weird pizza kind of work out. Like I found that combination, just regular straightforward pizza with like pepperoni or
I'm repulsed by pepperoni pizza. Ooh. And I'm not saying today as a vegetarian, I'm saying my entire life, I've never found pepperoni pizza appealing. Wow. I love pepperoni. I love pizza. I've never enjoyed pepperoni pizza.
Weird.
I find it disgusting. I do not think that pepperoni is meant to go on pizza. And I know everyone in the world will disagree with me. I'm already being told I'm insane in the chat room.
Yeah, that's my staple. That's the fallback.
And I understand it's a standard. It's a standard by which the world operates. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves pepperoni pizza.
What about sausage?
Sausage is definitely great for pizza.
Yeah.
Pepperoni pizza does not work for me. And I love pepperoni. I love – you know what? For me, pepperoni is a cold cut. I don't like pepperoni cooked.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. I see you eating a lot of pepperoni, like slice it up and kind of dipping it.
See pepperoni as a cold cut. I think I've eaten that once in my life, but it's just – it's
delicious, but it's entirely different. It tastes totally different than when you eat it at the pizza.
Of course.
Yeah.
But pepperoni's so greasy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Second grade, white bread – a big pile of pepperoni and two slices of American cheese with mustard on top of it. That was my favorite sandwich, other than olive loaf with mayo.
When it's cold and the fat's all like coagulated together, you bite it.
Wait. So why would that happen?
Because that's what pepperoni is made of.
On cold pizza, but not the cold cut. The cold cut doesn't get coagulated.
The pepperoni is the fat inside. When you look at it, there's fat inside of it. And when it's cold, it's nice and it's a different kind of consistency in your mouth.
Cold cut stuff doesn't get coagulated the same way that you're talking about. It doesn't happen that way.
Because it happens on sausage pizza.
The white thing that you see inside of the pepperoni is the coagulated fat.
I do not disagree.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, I thought you were saying like coagulated, like after the fact, no. Like with the different thing.
That doesn't exist.
Jimmy J.J. Walker, oh my God, Chris, just eat meat fag is what I'm being told in the Pal Talk room. It's not going to happen. But I miss it.
Doesn't it kind of like, it seems like there's, something happens to the fat on pepperoni or sausage.
Of course
when it gets
it
cold, it starts getting like whiter. Like, I think you're saying that.
Oh no, I think it crystallizes more. I think it becomes almost like an orange grease coagulation as opposed to the white stuff within the pepperoni itself.
When you cook pepperoni, the fat inside of it starts to kind of render and becomes liquid, and that's where it gets greasy. That's where all the grease on the pepperoni pizza comes from. It's coming out of the fat inside of the pepperoni.
There's a place in the Staten Island Mall in the food court. It's the
pepperonis?
The pizzeria of pepperoni.
Sbarro's.
And no, it's not. It's called like That's Italian or something. And I used to get pepperoni rolls from there. And I would eat them, and it would just be like a stack of pepperoni with next to a stack of cheese, and then wrapped up in this roll, cooked in this roll. And as I would bite it, it would just like there would just be orange pouring down my arm.
Hold on. I don't know if you guys caught it in there as this was happening. I threw my pen, and I lost my mind covering my head here. Steve the LARPer is suggesting that the orange coming out of the pepperoni is from the peppers put into pepperoni.
Yeah, there is no peppers.
There aren't really peppers in pepperoni, are there?
Orange comes out of sausage too.
It would make total sense if pepperoni actually has peppers in it, and I'm just totally ignorant of it. But I just assumed the pepper would be like a black pepper seasoning, not actual like the vegetable peppers.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Is there seasoning in there? Sure, but yeah, it's
my problem. My problem with life is, as I've said a few times, Steve LARPer says it.
Then you have to believe it.
That settles it. I believe it. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to do here.
I believe it's like a
and Keith Lucy doesn't. Don't forget all the onis that go into it too.
Yeah, it's like a sausage. It's a packed sausage. So it's like maybe it's cured with some sort of spice or whatever. But yeah, it's meat and fat just packed into a sausage.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'm glad that I don't feel that dumb. I don't feel that. All I'm saying is get yourself some ravioli pizza. Maybe we'll go get some ravioli pizza after the show.
Yeah, I'll be.
We'll put it up on YouTube this week, and it'll be really great. I will.
I'm very lately into. This place on Spring Street makes smoothies, which I've been trying to just like eat.
Pinkberry?
No.
It's not a chain, it's just a regular place.
It's a random deli that just has a really good
Randoms.
Bar in it.
Yes, I love Randoms. Yes. They're so good.
And inside there, they have a sign hanging up are you right there?
I'm really getting hot all of a sudden. For a change, my removal of my shirt on the show might not be because I want to be sexy. I'm actually feeling like it's 186 degrees in here.
You're just setting it up. Yeah, so this whole they have the sign up in this juice bar, and it says, warning, do not mix fruits and vegetables because of enzyme difference.
What?
Enzyme differences, unless it's apples. And I'm thinking...
I don't understand.
It's saying don't mix the vegetables with the other fruits, with the berries in the smoothie.
Wait, time out. Is this for the patrons or is this something behind the counter?
It's for the patrons because you have a choice of what to put in the smoothie and they're recommending you don't mix any fruit besides apple with vegetables. When I used to make those shakes with anything besides apples, those green shakes, I used to get bad stomach pains and I think maybe that's the reason. I didn't believe that was true. But
I'm a human being, believe it or not. But I'm a human being. Thank you. But I drink these smoothies with vegetables and all different kind of fruits every effing day of my life. Screw you, stupid deli. I'll go there and smash their faces with 100 bricks.
Well, it probably doesn't affect you.
But it doesn't affect anybody. You know what?
No, it affected me. I was there.
You're a liar. You convinced yourself for a reason why you shouldn't be having your healthy
shakes.
Brian
tasted it. I know it's true.
It was very good.
I've never heard of that. That's kind
stupid.
Of a weird thing.
Somebody
yeah,
look it up.
Silly.
Somebody look it up and you will get the second prize.
No, I mean, if a restaurant put it up there, I mean, there's so many people, so many weird things are out there that, I think a lot of it is probably in people's brains, but they put the word enzymes in it, so it must be science.
It's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
I guess if they're looking to fake science and trick people, I don't know what their point would be when they have a business and they're trying.
Apples are the cheaper fruit. I mean, you know, I mean, it could be anything.
No, but things are priced accordingly.
It's they're probably covering their asses for some sort of lawsuit because someone actually discovered this silly little enzyme combination and don't want to get sued.
I'm telling you, strawberry, banana, and spinach is awesome. Blueberry, banana, and spinach is awesome. I've never once had a stomach ache from any of it, and I understand I have an iron stomach, allegedly. I don't. I have like maybe one of the weakest stomachs in the world. I challenge it constantly and hurt myself on purpose, but these vegetable-fruit combos don't do a damn thing to me. They're terrific.
Well, maybe you're just not sensitive to it, to be fair. Maybe
stop eating steak. Stop eating cows. Then maybe your stomach will stop hurting you, jerk-offs.
Right, that's what it is.
Yeah, I know, because I'm sure all the people in Soho are getting fruit shakes are big steak eaters.
But that's where the enzymes come from. Cows make enzymes, okay? By the way, Steve LaLarper says paprika and crushed red pepper are the two peppers that go into pepperoni. Yeah. See, I knew I trusted him for a reason. He did the research. He knew what he was talking about.
But yeah, so I don't know. I think despite Chris's fact that Chris is convinced that he knows everything there is to know about everything.
No, I am convinced that being a person who drinks this stuff 4 days a week, every week for the past 2 years, that I've never had stomach problems from it.
Him.
Dude, you're a guy that said therapy doesn't work, and then you went to therapy and said it does work, but the type of therapy you went to doesn't work. Isn't real.
Do you understand the difference between whether you get a physical pain from something or whether something has the potential to resolve deep-rooted problems could be slightly different? The fact that it doesn't...
I don't know. I think it's your general personality. I think
No, this doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. No, I don't have diarrhea. I'm not vomiting right now. No, this isn't happening.
If you don't experience something, I think you don't believe it exists. You really don't believe it exists. I think if you got stomach pains over the next 3 days and your doctor told you, you can't mix fruits and vegetables, then you would be on board there.
Okay, but the fact is I've been eating it for 2 years and haven't had a problem once. I didn't need to see a doctor over it. I'm not saying you don't have a sensitivity to vegetable with fruit.
What you're insinuating is that it doesn't exist out in the world. Not that this hasn't happened, but that the thing that people are experiencing is
fake.
Is purely psychosomatic. Yes.
There's a girl that I work with who got a tattoo on her ankle.
No, she didn't.
That got inflamed on her ankle, and she's trying to convince me that people are allergic to red ink and tattoos. That's dog crap too. It's crazy talk.
But wait, but you're gonna compare somebody thinking that the colors of ink are different as far as allergic reactions to the possibility that two completely different types of foods could cause.
Yes.
Completely different fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, exactly. What's the difference? One has a bunch of seeds. One only has one seed. That's the big difference between the two of them.
It seems weird. After you said it, it boggled my mind. I thought that was kind of madness.
I don't want to go crazy and you know, in my defense of vegetables for 2 hours, although I know I've already gone too far with it already. Let's go to the drawing board. I'm more than willing to be open to the fact that maybe it's a possibility that certain people are sensitive to it. I don't really think it sounds very feasible, but I'll open up to it. I'll open up to the possibility of it, and we'll look into it. We'll do a little research. You know what? That's the third prize today. If you could figure out how that works, you know what? No, I'm not going to acknowledge it.
Or convince Chris that it does.
Well, that'll never happen. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Ever since red ink and tattoos, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Fruits and vegetables.
Well, that's stupid, though.
That is stupid.
But fruits and vegetables mixing together, it seems pretty stupid, too. You don't think that there's any sort of stupidity to that?
It sounds weird.
No, I believe it's real.
But why do you think that?
It sounds unusual, but it doesn't
sound
stupid.
Because I experienced it, and then I saw somewhere else somebody saying it.
You don't think maybe you could have just like had a bad batch of spinach? Because the fact is, like, if you don't clean spinach totally properly, it's very probable that you can get E. coli from that. Like, that's a regular thing that there's sometimes, like, animal poopy.
No, well, first of all, I clean it obsessively, but anytime I was doing it, and then the thing that
every
triggered...
Every time?
Yeah, I was getting pains every time. I think I just asked you. I asked you on the way to the show one night. I said, hey, do you get bad stomach pains from eating a lot of fruit?
You could have a problem. You might be allergic to certain fruits, or you could also, raw vegetables are not the easiest thing to digest. That could be part of it.
But I noticed that it stopped happening the last few times I drank them, and the last few times I drank them, coincidentally, it was just apples and spinach. And that's the thing that made me notice in my head, hey, wait, that happened to me. And they're saying, except for apples are okay.
Yeah, well, I will open up to the possibility of it, but I find it hard to believe because it never, I mean, for someone that does it as often as I do, I would have thought I would have had a problem once. And I know that I don't have an ironclad stomach. I know I have a crap stomach.
That's why it's shocking. You should be careful later, Chris, or Keith, excuse me, when we mix the pizza and the ravioli. There are two separate enzymes in both of them. You might have a little bit of
trouble. That's a very good point.
Just be careful. That's all I'm saying.
On all these delicious food things that we're talking about here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk, that's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears, a place to be, a wonderful fantasy talk radio, stupid fake internet thing that we do. I have another food obsession that I'm going crazy on right now. Is I'm going crazy about flavored nuts, specifically almonds. I wasn't opening the door to a silly gay joke. Flavored almonds are now my thing that I'm obsessed with. Planters has this new thing called Flavor Grove, and they're seasoned almonds, and it's maybe the greatest thing going.
Are they like roasted almonds, or are they just totally raw?
I believe they're roasted. I believe these ones are roasted almonds. They have like a lime chili one, which I have not had yet. I bought it, and it's sitting in my house, and I forgot to eat it, but they had a peppercorn one, which is great, and they have an olive oil one.
So it's all savory stuff. There's no sweet, like honey.
No, I haven't seen I've had honey roasted nuts before, but I wouldn't bother with that. I'm being told tamari almonds. I don't even know what a tamari is. Is that that?
It's like paprika and crushed red pepper.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I wasn't aware. I have to be careful because I don't want to mix those together, do I? I love them. I'll try it. I'll try a tamari almond next. That's the next thing I'll go for.
I have no idea what tamari is.
I'm just telling you, get yourself some flavored nuts.
So you think there's no foods that could be mixed together? And it will give you stomach pains.
Sure. Milk and citrus.
Okay.
Yes. I'm not.
I don't understand the difference is why it's so funny to think that.
Because when you mix milk and citrus together, they curdle and you see them, they cause some crazy reaction together.
So you see it happen and that's why you know
yes.
that it's.
You don't question the legitimacy that a fruit and a vegetable, doesn't that seem like a natural combination? Like fruits and vegetables kind of, don't they seem pretty benign as if they could mix with anything?
What they seem like? I don't know. Why? Because they're natural? Because they both grew?
That means
that they coexist peacefully together? I don't understand. I'm talking about also having excessive amounts of them, too.
Understand something here. I am opening myself up to the fact that it's a possibility based on you saying this. I don't really believe it, but I'm opening myself up to the possibility of it. And I understand that I'm the one that's traditionally the pig-headed crazy one here on the show. You're not letting go of the fact that I'm not giving in to you and saying, all right, you know, that is exactly what it is. I don't believe it's possible that fruits and vegetables are doing it.
I'm not saying you should. I'm saying to act as if it's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
It does seem kind of crazy. It seems kind of crazy. Like salad. Salads are vegetables mixed with fruits a lot,
tomatoes.
Not just apples.
Tomatoes are a fruit. Do you get a stomachache when you eat tomatoes and lettuce together?
I get a stomachache from tomatoes anyway.
Really?
But I mean, there are salads that have spinach and pineapples and lettuce and oranges mixed in with them all the time. And people are not complaining of rashes of stomachaches from the fruit and vegetable combination. Seems nutty to me.
I'm going to ask them where they got their information tomorrow.
You don't need
Please
to.
Please do. I do. I'm curious.
No, I'm going to ask them.
You don't need to for my sake. You should do that for yourself.
Okay. The other people listen to this show, though.
I don't believe that's true. I believe that Steve the LARPer and Keith Fu, who actually interact with us in the room, are bots. I do not believe they're real people at this point. Although I do trust the Steve the LARPer one more than anyone I've ever met.
So, nuts.
They're good. See,
that's it. That's all
Keith Fu just said beep. He's obviously a bot. Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. It wasn't like I didn't want to go into a 20-minute dissertation about it. I'm just saying Planters Flavor Grove. Get yourself some. Wasabi almonds. I actually have a jar of wasabi.
See, that's what I want to try right
I
there.
I have a jar of wasabi almonds on my desk right now if you want to go grab
break.
And enjoy
we'll
yourself.
Break.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like, it's not going to be entertaining to say, wow, these taste good because they just taste good.
No,
there's
I
nothing...
want to eat them.
I understand. Could you not put your fingers in there? Can I pour them on? Could you use a spoon?
Okay, I've washed my hands.
You're disgusting. You're a disgusting, filthy human being, and I don't like you. Well, whatever. Food, it's Best in Show. We're fat. We hang out. We do stuff. We talk. If you want to talk with us about fat and food or talking, do so. 347-767-4BAS. Or go to the Pal Talk room. It's the Hear Us Talk radio room, Pal Talk. Or just go to hearustalk.com.
I'm not fat. I drink fruit shakes every day.
That's
or vegetable
true.
Shakes.
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
No, or.
After, oh, okay. They're exclusive of each other. I keep my fruit plate separated from my veggie plate.
What about, I mean, the
fact that your stomach is a big vat, and if you eat spinach and then 10 minutes later eat a fruit, it's somehow okay that they don't go into that vat together?
Or the whole marketing, the V8 has recently come out with a whole new line of...
the V8 splashes have existed splashes. But they've existed for like 20 years now, 15 years.
Okay. Do you think there's any actual...
Yeah, maybe... Yeah.
No, 10 years. Definitely 10 years.
I understand your point on that.
They're hiding
vegetables. How much real actual fruit do you think is in those?
Oh, V8 is all... If you... I buy V8, the regular V8, not this splash crap.
Isn't it like high fructose... V8.
Real V8.
Yeah. But real V8 is just tomato juice, isn't it?
No, it's vegetable juice.
But it's
very
vegetables.
Little tomatoes. It's more like carrots and celery. Beets and celery. And yeah, it's 8 different vegetables.
It's really gross, actually.
It's delicious.
I'm repulsed by V8. I'm also a guy who's repulsed by Bloody Marys too. I know I don't like that. To me, if it's going to have that tomatoey taste, I want it to be hot. I want it to be like a sauce. I don't want it to be
spicy. You mean
I don't like a cold. Yeah. Not spicy. Temperature.
So
I don't like
you eat like cocktail sauce.
I hate gazpacho. I hate cocktail sauce.
Really?
I think it's gross. I like ketchup.
Salsa.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. You want it cold. You don't want lukewarm salsa.
I guess it hot. I guess I would.
I'll eat it cold, salsa? But I want it hot.
Really?
Because that's because it makes me think of ketchup when it's cold.
It doesn't. I would probably eat salsa either way. Salsa has a little bit of a different taste to it. Yeah. I don't like tomato sauce. Tomato juice. I don't like V8s.
I dislike tomato juice. I love V8. I can't get enough of it. But I imagine because of their reputation of having all fresh vegetables and stuff. I'm sure they use real fruit juice and they blend it with vegetables. They're hiding the vegetables with, you're thinking it's just sugar. It's not real fruit juice. Is that your argument, Keith?
Yeah, I just assumed it was no real fruit juice in there.
All right.
Again, I'm not all that obsessed with just continuing to beat up on Keith and say, no, even though you believe this, stop believing it. Hey, if you want to believe it, if that's what's going to get you through the day, the same way I'm not going to believe you or, beat up on you for believing in God, whatever. If that's your thing, that's your thing. It's fine. You want to believe that fruits and vegetables don't belong together? If you want to believe that whites and blacks shouldn't live on the same block, hey, that's up to you, same black. I mean, you could separate whatever things you choose to separate. If that's what you believe in, that's what you believe in. I'm not going to fight you on it.
Amen, brother.
I want you to agree.
That's probably going to happen soon. So, I don't know. Food, Best in Show, fat, we hang out. Speaking of food and fat and radio, I must apologize. I for the past, I don't know, however many years we've been doing this internet radio thing, I've always prided myself to a certain extent. Prided to a certain extent? Does that even mean anything? On the fact that if I said I was going to do something for the show or on air in some way or another, I would do it, even if it was half-assed. Well, on the air, I said. Were we supposed to do the Renaissance Fair on air?
Yeah, sure.
All right, okay.
We have missed so many promises that we've made.
Yeah, but those seem more like events. I mean specifically... like on-air things. Like when I say I was going to do a bit, that I would come through with the bit and record something, even though it was terrible, like the stupid Pokemon Warcast that I did.
You've made your share of terrible bits, but I'm sure you flaked on it at least as many.
In my mind, I convinced myself that I haven't missed any of them. And I thought that, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, this Tuesday, May 17th, that just passed, I did not come through with the Chipcast that I promised for YouTube.
It was the 18th that it was supposed to happen. I was looking forward to it.
17th.
Okay, we can argue about this for half an hour if you'd like.
Oh, no, the 17th is Monday. You're right, 18th. See, I give in, Keith. I give in all the time. As soon as people make a valid argument, don't talk crazy about fruit and vegetables.
Yeah, I was a little sad to see that day come and go without a chip cast. And I was excited about these supposedly new chips that you had recorded. I was looking forward to going out and purchasing some and maybe joining along.
I'm going to guarantee – well, my idea behind what the Chipcast was going to be was I was going to do like a 2 or 3 minute video reviewing some chips. And I thought maybe there would be something comical about it. And then as I did it, there was nothing comical about it. And then I tried to like see how I could mix it and make it into something. It's just a fat kid sitting there eating chips.
You're expecting it somehow would make you funny.
No, like all of a sudden I expected there would be something enjoyable, something remotely entertaining. It was sitting and watching me eat potato chips and talk about them. It seems dumb. I think if it's a live program, I think if the Chipcast becomes a live program, then
are you fooling yourself again now?
No. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I think if it were a live program, I think maybe there's something compelling about that. Interacting with people on it, where maybe I'm striking chords with people and they're interacting with me, I could see something there.
I wish I had chips now so you could practice the 2-minute chip cast.
But me by myself sitting there eating and saying, yeah, I like these. You know what? These aren't as hot as I think they are. What? It's just stupid. It's just stupid. If we want to be friends...
Well, you could, like, you know, get into Pal Talk and do it or something like that. Or, maybe. Like, you know, turn on Skype.
Or I could answer the phones here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com on the hottest of all lines. Who's this?
Sheepy.
Hey, Sheepy, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
I want Chipcast.
Yes.
Sheepy, can we talk seriously about this for a second? Okay, I mean, I'm talking to you heart to heart, man to man. Does it make sense for it to be like a video YouTube thing, or does it make more sense for it to be like a live radio show?
You have to do the live radio show to have the interaction with the people we know.
See?
And then you have it recorded, and then you put it on the internet. And then, it being on the internet, you can chop up segments, and it looks more fun that you'll have people calling into Skype, and you'll be like, hey, Doritos, line one. You talk about Doritos.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you right here. I was out. I was done with the Chipcast. I was thinking in my mind, you know what? As much as I was saying a second ago, maybe if I did it in a live audience and Keith even said, nah, you're fooling yourself again. I really wasn't. I didn't believe it. But the idea that Sheepy just came up with, the idea of taped in front of a live studio audience and then turned into a video podcast, I feel something there.
Yeah, but now
it's genius. Do you know how many... I am a sucker for two things, mostly in this world. And it's whatever new chip is on the shelf and whatever new drink is on the shelf.
New drinks, not so much for me, but I could understand that. Although I do try them, yeah. But yeah, new chips, of course, they're the most important thing that could happen.
Do you know how many disgusting potato chips I've tried just because they're a new bag on the shelf? I tried those goddamn Taco Bell flavored burrito Doritos.
Hold on.
I'd rather lick a sock.
Wait, hold on a second, Sheep. Are you talking about the late night edition midnight taco Dorito, or are you talking about the specific Taco Bell Rolito version of the Doritos that came out maybe about 3-4 years ago?
The late night one that is horrendous.
Okay, I'm going to tell you that I ate a bag of them 2 nights ago, and I think they're terrific. This is why I'm
not... You're a madman. You need a counterpoint, and that's why it needs to be a call-in Chipcast.
Yeah. All right. Then, you know what? There's some heat here. There's some heat here. Taco flavored heat, maybe. All right, maybe I'll film this live in front of a studio audience. I probably won't though.
Now you got to get like an audience together, like at a specific
time. In a room. I mean a live audience. I don't mean Pal Talk. I mean I'm gonna have bleachers. I want bleachers filled with people in front of me while I do a seminar about the chips I like.
Remember in the early days of the internet, and there was crazy websites all over the place. What was one of the most popular websites ever? Leonard Nimoy should eat more salsa. It was a website all about salsa. Now, if there's a chip cast with genuine, intelligent discussion of chips, I think it's a hit.
All right. There's something to be said for it. This is how this all started. We talked about this on the show, that show being Best in Show, like maybe a month and a half ago. And it seemed like, yeah, there's some heat here. There's some legs to this thing. But then it actually came down to doing it, and I actually videotaped it. I should actually just put up the videos of what I taped just to embarrass myself, because they're god-awful. It's just me sitting there talking seriously about chips, taking myself so seriously, thinking about goddamn Dorito first degree and second degree.
You don't need to be corralled in, okay? I am volunteering my services as an internet radio superstar producer to the Chipcast.
All right, we're gonna talk about this offline, Sheepy. It's official. Sheepy is now.
I'm serious.
You think I'm not? I'm ready to
go. I'm making sure everyone else knows I'm serious.
All right, well, we're together on this. We got this covered. We are Chipcasting the night away. I don't know when we're gonna tape it because my schedule is miserable.
Where?
Yeah, can I come to your house to tape it?
Sure. I'm probably I'm close to an hour away from you.
Perfect.
I'll come to your house either way.
Could you imagine how many chips that I could find between us? Oh, you know, we'll meet in the middle. We'll meet someplace in central Jersey.
We need regional chips. We need to message out people that we know that live around the country and find chips from different regions.
This is great. He's more excited.
Canadian chips? Do you know how many people we could find in Canada with different kinds of chips in Canada?
At least 7. I don't like maple syrup flavored chips, though. I'm not too excited about that prospect. Maybe I would be.
Well, try them, though.
Yeah, you got
of course. It's a chip kiss.
Syrup chips, you got to eat one.
This
right?
is a goddamn chip kiss. Could you believe that I brought this thing up on the show to say, yeah, Chipcast is dead, and just like that, Young Sheepy calls into the show, and he pumps like he's CPR'd the crap out of this
he
thing.
He made my blood boil that you were about to give up on the Chipcast.
I would love a boiling blood-flavored chip. I would try it. I will try it live on the air, or we'll talk about it. It'll be great.
But
the hardest part is the chip budget.
This is fantastic. I'm so excited.
You better strike while the iron's hot, Sheepy. I mean, I've seen this fire in his eyes before, and you've got maybe 48 hours.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if you've noticed in the last minute and a half, Brian, my interest has waned since Sheepy stopped talking. Every time he talks about it, I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then he stops and is like, oh, man, it's the chip cast. This is so stupid. It's going to be good. We'll at least do one episode of it and see what happens.
It's on you, Sheepy, now. It's on you.
Good. I'm fine with it.
All right. The master.
Slap it on me. Rub it in my face.
Oh, it's going to be so delicious. Flavored. Nice. I might do it shirtless as well.
Are you going to swallow every chip?
Obviously. What kind of a girl do you think I am? I'm going to enjoy every mouthful. It's going to be terrific. Him? Yeah. Come on. It's hurtful. Excellent, Sheepy. Well, thank you for calling and inspiring me and getting Chipcast back on track.
Good. What show's back tonight?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
The what show's back?
We will be back. We will have adventures. There's many stories to tell.
Excellent. I look forward to hearing it. That's the what show Friday nights here on Heroes Talk, 9:30 p.m. A much awaited. You know, return after a little bit of a hiatus for a little bit there. Excited to have
we've had some there. Busyness happen. Things. It'll all be explained.
Indeed. I look forward to it tomorrow evening.
A good day, sir.
Good
Bye.
Day to you, sir. Thank you much. Look at that. It's very exciting. The Chipcast has returned. Or not. It's going to be great here on Heroes Talk or wherever it's going to be. It'll be someplace. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. You can call just like Sheepy and be part of this thing if you'd like, 347-767. What is it? 4BIS.
By the way,
BIS, I think, is Best Show. That was really sad, by the way. We got so excited and animated about the Chipcast, and you stood up disgusted and walked out of the room.
No, I had to get more soda.
Oh, you're doing a soda cast? Yeah. Don't try and go head-to-head against the Chipcast. I got the producer.
I'll destroy you. I'll get Coke and Pepsi to sponsor.
Oh, my God. If you get Irish Alky as your producer and to go up against us, it's really going to be a problem.
I'm sorry, Brian, just signaled his foot to me. I have no idea what that means.
Yes, I guess Brian is plugging in your cell phone to charge it under the table, but for some reason he can't speak words to you.
Wow,
you guys are pointing.
You got it all the way over to me. Look at Brian.
Nice.
I said, look at
my shoes.
I had to settle it. So I went on my phone and I Googled the...
Oh, that's what you were doing?
Yeah, the mixing fruits and vegetables. The best part, forget about all that. The best part is the arguments raging on the internet amongst people. Basically,
it's real, it's not real?
What it is they both require two different enzymes to digest. So sometimes if you have a sensitive stomach, you can get stomach pain. So I don't know. I probably do because I have a stomach pain every day anyway. But the people fighting on the internet was the best thing in
the
world.
What's the fight? What's the counterpoint to that?
Some people saying like, what are you talking about? That's like basically what Chris was saying. That's the most the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And
so smart people talking with dummies.
And other people responding, listen, a-hole. All I said is that you would get a stomachache. I didn't say you're going to die if you mix fruits and vegetables.
Do you notice something there? People saying, like smart people saying, wow, that doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense. And then people...
People
who say really crazy cockamamie things about it are saying, hey, a-hole, and they lash out violently like jerks. It's weird. It's like jerks believe stupid and smarts eat fruits and vegetables together. It's weird.
They need more fiber in their diet.
So do you believe that they require different enzymes to digest, or are you just throwing that under the bus now?
I still think it's weird.
I just
want
to see how far you'll go.
I'm letting go and saying I am willing to look into this. I am not going. I think it's going to be insane if we talk for 2 hours tonight over and over about Gibbs. Like, come on, seriously, do you believe me? Seriously, do you believe me? Come on, seriously. I'm saying I don't believe it.
I just think if Mr. Bill Nye, the science guy, came in and discussed it right now, Brian would just sit there and go, no, I know you're just pigheaded, so you wouldn't.
No, I.
Say, nah,
are you suggesting that I'm supposed to believe it because Bill Nye, the science guy, said it? That's what you're saying.
All right.
Can I just suggest that he has been hammering for close to an hour now? Guys, this is it. Guys, this is it. Guys, this is it. And I'm the pig-headed one.
I'm the pig-headed one. The guy who eats fruits and vegetables and doesn't get sick. Wow, take a breath. It's just fruits and vegetables. That's all. It's
Let's talk about serious things like bestinshowbestinshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk, where we talk about fruits, vegetables, chips, almonds, and all sorts of things like, I don't know, office supplies. Who, Brian?
Brian, I want you to lead this one, Brian. I noticed a weird new thing at my job. I went in and I needed a pen. So I kept borrowing pens from people. And then I noticed people have their names written down on the pen. You're going to miss my news about my big pen cast, though.
Pen cast.
And so I'm noticing that like people are like borrowing pens and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So I went around looking for a supply closet. And then I'm kind of looking all around, and I can't find a supply closet.
Wait a second. People have their names on their pens?
People have their names on their pens.
They wrote their name or they labeled it in some way.
Labeled their name. A couple of people labeled their names. Some never let it go. Others have their pen stash
let it out of their hand.
Right where they sit, like hidden. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, this is so odd. Like that. Like, where are the pens? Now, I'm used to my last job where there was just, I would open up the closet and there's just boxes and boxes of paper-mate pens. So I'm looking all around and now I realized that I have to bring my own pen or continuously borrow a pen from people. Like, somebody I work with said, oh, hey, you know what? I was in the bank yesterday, so I got you a pen and put my name on it. So now I have my own pen from a bank with my name on it that this person did for me, so I would have my own pen. And I realized, wait a second, this company, and let's just say it's a pretty big company, this company does not have supplies. They do not supply pens. They do not supply a required thing, which is just odd to me. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because they don't or if somehow there's a flaw in the system.
I wasn't here for half of what you said, but I think I'm following in the fact that I have seen at more than a handful of businesses, granted not super large companies like I think you're suggesting, but lots of businesses, that TD Bank pens are the company pens that they have out, or Commerce pens before they were TD Bank pens are the things that everyone was using. And I'm not talking about like the gas station down the street when you sign with a credit card, one thing. I'm saying like actual reputable businesses, although relatively small, they seem to use those bank pens all the time.
What you're saying is that they're not going out and buying their own pens, or they're not using their own company names, but they're still providing the people that they work with pens. What Keith is suggesting is that this company is pretty much saying you're on your own for the pen thing. You get no pens. You're going to have to bring a pen in from work.
Yeah, bring a pen.
Or steal
BYOP.
It from somewhere.
It's BYOP at my job.
Like,
and
there's no pens. That's weird.
And every day I keep thinking, oh,
something,
man,
happened.
I got to go buy a pen.
Bring it.
Just let something happen.
Someone stole supplies.
Someone stole a bunch of supplies.
Yeah,
someone stole supplies. Like the office manager just put their foot down and said, "That's it. It's over." Or maybe
they realized, is it one office or is it like a branch and it's like a company wide thing?
In there.
And they're all the same thing.
Oh, I don't know yet. I've only been in one part so far.
I'm gonna guess that they looked at the budget and said, "We spend $10,000 a year on pens.
So let's screw it. That down to zero."
They could get their own pens. There are people that make you buy your uniform when you go to a job, and they eliminate uniform costs. What would be so wrong with expecting people to spend $1, $1.50 if they want to be badasses, you know, $6 on a pen for themselves? Screw you.
I think it's weird. Or I think you should be told ahead of time required to bring your own pen.
Our buddy Pristine is asking, do they give you chairs to sit into, or do you have to bring your own for that?
I'm surprised we get paper there. I will say this much. There's a paper problem as well. And the problem is when the area I work in closes for the day, you know, normal business hours, this place is open and other areas come and tend to steal the paper. So that might be the something that happened, why
so
they stopped with the pens. But it's just still very weird to me. It just when it suddenly hit me, like, wow, I have to supply my own. Because when it hit me is when I was going out to lunch. I'm coming back from lunch and I said, damn it, I wanted to go buy a package of pens to keep. And then I was like, wait, I just realized that I have to supply my own pens. And it was odd to me. Just supplying your own office supplies is kind of weird to me.
Papermates, nice. They have the nice little colored package. It's like $1.59. You get
you
10
bought
pens.
This, though, right? You didn't steal this from your company.
No, I bought them, but I expensed them. My company.
Yes,
does your company have a supply closet of pens?
Yes.
But not I'm not asking for the argument. I'm asking because I need some pens for work.
Yes. I actually have a box of pens at my desk that you can take with you tonight to work tomorrow.
Will you write on each one fruit and vegetables don't mix well?
No, I will. I will say Keith's veggie or fruit pen exclusively.
Do you really have the ones with little apples and the ones with little
blueberries? No, I have pens. I have regular pens. I do buy my own pens, but then I expense them. I feel like it's my company's responsibility to pay for them. But I buy my own pens. I buy colored pens, and I enjoy them.
You buy them because you don't like the pens that your company provides you are not up to snuff, are they?
I like colored pens. I have a little bit of a I think we've talked about this on the show many years ago, or maybe not. Maybe it's just in my own head. I kind of have like a little bit of a pen and pad fetish.
I know the pads. I know.
I like to collect notebooks. I like all different like little notebooks all the time, and I like different colored pens. Like I like green pens and orange pens and purple pens. You actually borrowed a purple pen from my desk tonight, and now I will never use that purple pen again. That's now yours. Everyone steals my pens because they're so great and they're colored and they're terrific.
I've been fighting the urge to chew on this.
Don't.
Why?
What
do I care?
I'm a pen chewer. I chew.
The chewer
all the
annoys me.
But it's borrowed this, so I'm like, I'm fighting.
I'm telling you honestly, you did not borrow it. I am not going to be comfortable having that pen after it's been in
because
your.
Because I touched it.
Because you are a filthy, disgusting.
I'm not a filthy, disgusting animal.
Please allow me. I never said animal.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stop you in the middle of that diatribe. What were you going to say?
I find you to be filthy and repulsive and repugnant, and things that you touch are not things that I would like to have in my presence afterwards.
It's ridiculous. That's why. What about me is repulsive and repugnant?
I think you're a little bit filthy. I've watched you like rub your hair and skin and stuff, and it just seems a little like after watching someone do that, I wouldn't want to lick your fingers.
Oh,
so
I wouldn't want you to lick my fingers.
But
either.
if you're touching a pen and then it's going to be in my hands, then maybe I will eat something and lick my fingers. It's the same thing as licking your fingers. I don't like when people use my pens. They're my pens. I want them to remain my pens. And specifically, you're one of the people that I think is a little grosser than the average.
That's weird. I've never grossed anyone out before, except for myself.
I suspect that that's not true. I just don't think that you tell me. I just watched you, as you said that, rub your hands through your hair and yank and all the filthy grease that's going through your hair as I just spit all over the place and talk about how gross you are. But you're gross.
Do you have a stick and pen in your ear, Brian?
No.
I guarantee he does.
No, I don't. I stick my fingers in my ear.
You know,
and then hold a pen.
Yes.
I think I'm actually more grossed out. The reason I wouldn't do that, I'm more grossed out by whatever's on the
pen going into my ear.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I get weirded out about my ears and my eyes. I don't like.
Do you ever stick pens in your eyes for the hell of it?
I do. Ears are disgusting too.
Yeah.
It should bother me more that when you weren't here tonight that I actually put your headphones on to check the sound over there. And I did actually consider for a second using my own headphones, and I should have.
What if you saw someone picking their nose with a pen and then try to give it back to you? Would you tell them you picked your nose with a pen?
Of course I would. Of course I would. I have no problem telling people, for the most part, things. Although...
No, there's nothing on it. It's fine.
I've said in the past before, I have a thing about people going to the bathroom at work, and I keep notes of who washes their hands when they go to the bathroom and who doesn't.
Well, that is
and
gross.
Then, but then when people have come to me after the fact and be like, oh, and then they go to shake my hand, like hours later, a totally different time of day, I've told people blatantly, yeah, dude, I've seen you go to the bathroom and not wash your hands. I'm never going to shake your hand. I think you're a nice person. I'll give you nucks. You know, I'll do something like that. I'm not going to shake your hand. I have no problem telling people that. If I saw someone picking their nose, I would tell them straight up. I have no problem just confronting them.
By the way, speaking of that, earlier, right before the show, some friends of Chris's, I'll call them friends, some friends of Chris's were in here, and
one of my coworkers,
and his wife were in here, and he introduced me to them, and I shook his hand, and then she stuck her hand out, and I shook her hand. Which I would have anyway, but I noticed something. Despite the fact that it's 2010, until I started this job, which I've worked at for about a month, well, not even, until I started this job, and actually, no, I'm sorry, until I went through the interview process, I would not shake the hand of a female. I wouldn't shake a woman's hand. And it's not because I think, you know, like, oh, I'm not shaking your hand, you're a woman.
Inferior, right.
But in a way, it was kind of like, I don't have to shake your hand, you're a woman. I would see friends.
What?
If somebody would introduce me...
By the way, Sheepy is like, you're the room terrorist. You're a filthy terrorist. Because that actually is a... I don't want to be insulting religion-wise. I don't know if it's an Islam thing or a Muslim thing. I don't know what
well,
or,
he said terrorist.
Or what the other one is, the other religion over there.
Terrorist?
In Terrorville. Yeah.
You mean the other one besides Islam and Muslim?
Right. No, but there's another one.
Two entirely different religions?
No, but there's another thing. Oh, Hindu. Hindu is the other one. I get the two... Like the two main Indian religions. I never remember what the two are, and I get them confused. What?
Nothing.
I'm a little racist. Leave me alone.
But, like all those Indian Muslims.
But what? I don't remember. A girl.
Native
that,
Muslim, Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A girl that my daughter goes to school with, her parents are, I don't remember if it's Muslim or the other one. Islam? No,
stop saying that.
Sorry, or Hindu. I don't remember which of the two she is. I think it's Muslim.
You Islam, bro.
Right. Yeah, but I think that's what it is. And when we were meeting them,
are you
I was
Jewish or Israelite. Which one are you?
But when we were going
are you
to
Christian or Catholic,
I understand. I don't remember things. I went and I put my hand out, and he said, "No, we are one of these two things," which I don't remember the one of them. And, women don't shake men's hands. We don't mean disrespect by it. You're not supposed to shake the woman's hand. I was like, oh, okay, sorry. And I didn't know that was a thing.
Well,
they also eat in separate places in restaurants, like in their fast food restaurants. They have the men's side and the family side. You know, it's where the single guys go to eat together, and no women are allowed kind of in there. It's
hot.
It's weird. It's a bizarre culture.
Well, until this happened, I started to realize that the reason I did is because it was almost like I don't have to shake your hand. And people would
That's
introduce
ridiculous.
Friends. And it wasn't like I was consciously thinking it. It's just naturally what I would do. Somebody would introduce friends. Hey, this is my friend. This is my friends Jack and Jill. Oh, this is my friend Jack. Oh, hey, Jack, what's up? Shake hands. Oh, and this is his girlfriend Jill. And I'd raise my hand up like,
and
oh,
nod.
Hi.
Like a
exactly,
nod.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. And
oh, like you wouldn't even do a hug or like a face kiss?
No contact
like
on the girl.
Well, that's the thing. I can understand the fact that I don't like kissing people hello, and I think people expect you to kiss girls as opposed to shake guys' hands. And I don't like kissing people hello.
Kiss new people you're being introduced
yeah.
to? Really?
Tongue kiss.
What?
No, the face kiss, the air kiss that you do next to the
For
person's
new people,
ear.
Really?
That's kind of a thing. It's here. Oh, it's kind of a regional thing.
Oh, nice to meet you. You know,
exactly.
Not the real kiss, like the Italian kiss. Like make the kissy sound while pressing your cheek up against theirs, which is even grosser. You might as well tongue kiss them.
That's like that's up here. That's like New York and New Jersey, and that's the only places that you
like
see
Friends
that.
Of Oz do that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. And people in Europe, which I think are called Europeans.
Yes, Muslim. Muslims.
So I just thought, and I realized until this, now I'm conscious. Now I do it. Now
That's
I
insanity.
Immediately stick my hand out and shake someone's hand. But it's just like, but I do the little,
but,
you
but
know,
stop
the little
it.
Like,
you,
like
do you
dainty
shake
hand.
So you give a dead, you give dead
definitely,
fish to girls.
Definitely. I don't want to break the hand with my manly bones.
By the way, Brian, I think you've insulted a friend of ours. Our friend Spickle said, and Philly too, douche. Just
they,
so you know,
they do fake kisses.
Apparently
in
they
Philly?
Do.
Wow,
apparently they
I
do.
Did not expect that.
Any time that I've been there, I was high, so I don't remember anything that happened there. But it was nice. It was a good time.
That free. I don't like the fake kiss. I think it's freakish what you're saying, Keith. Like I never even had considered that this is a part of American culture. And you're saying it's just always been a subconscious thing.
It
for
was
you
just always subconscious. That's what I'm saying. It
That's
took
weird.
35 years for me to say, oh, I should probably shake that woman's hand. If they stuck it out, I would shake it. You know, like I it's not like I don't know what are you you're a guy, but unless they stuck it, unless they like you know extended their hand to shake, then I would shake it. And I don't get me wrong, I think it's crazy too. I just but I realized it just felt insane.
So you're acknowledging that you are crazy.
Oh yeah, I think I'm crazy. I don't think that this is a rule everyone should be following.
So you're acknowledging that there is at least
oh,
a
boy.
Little bit of insanity in your
nope.
own mind.
Nope.
I'm just asking that question. You just said it a second ago.
You know why I went insane? Mixing fruits and vegetables.
Do we say at this point you're listening to Best in Show, bestserio.com, or do you want to keep going on this?
on the fruits and vegetables or the shaking hands?
No, I
want
to talk.
I don't know. I just feel like when you bring fruits and vegetables up, we have to go.
You did. You
no, I didn't say nothing. I said, "Do you?" I would ask you a question, and you just assumed where I was going.
If you hit the ball to Venus Williams, she's going to hit it back.
All right. Do you ever grab the girl's hand and kiss the back of her hand?
Yes, only when my mustache is very thin and I'm in a tuxedo, though.
I do that sometimes jokingly. That's the way that I kind of like.
If I remember correctly, when you met Solera from The Watch Show, you did that. And she, if I remember correctly, she looked at me and mouthed the words, "He's kissing my hand. Why is he kissing my hand?"
It's kind of weird. It's a little different. It's old-timey. It's bizarre.
Disgusting. I think disgusting. A reason why you shouldn't hold her pen.
Lick her heart.
You know what? You know what? I think I met Solera that day. I definitely didn't shake her hand.
No.
I don't think we didn't shake hands, I don't think. Minutes before that, Ken introduced me to our friend Jay Mish. I definitely shook his hand.
Of
so
course.
And it's nothing against her. It's just the thought never even occurs to me to shake. And I know I'm insane for that. I do, but
I don't think it's even remotely crazy. I don't think it's remotely crazy. I don't think I shake girls' hands most of the time either. I don't like to shake people's hands at all. It's when people offer me their hand, I'll shake it. I don't reach my hand out first. And a lot of girls don't reach their hand out to me.
But I'm thinking now
they don't want to touch it.
I've left a trail of people thinking I'm a jerk now, I think, most likely.
I have to imagine if I was a girl, particularly if I was with a guy, and I was introduced to a person, that guy shook my boyfriend's hand, but not mine, I'd probably be a little pissed. Like, what's up?
You're so pretty and delicate and nice. I don't want to jostle you with my hand. Why? What's the reason?
And I'm thinking, I'm envisioning like me being at like a not necessarily a party, because you usually don't say goodbye to everyone at a party, but like a place where there's four or five people, you know, and it's like, all right, I'm in this situation. Everyone's close enough. I'm going to shake hands. And I would definitely do, you know, shake, nice seeing you to the girls.
Jesus.
You know what I mean?
I got news for you. Just like Spickle saying, I wouldn't go that far. You go with the head nod and sup. Hey, what's up? Like you'd probably try to not shake hands at all. I would prefer to not shake hands.
If to someone, anyone, you mean?
To only they, chicks is what?
No, I'm saying to anybody.
All right, well, what's Sheepy saying is my question.
No, Spickle. Spickle's saying that he doesn't shake hands.
No, he just
hands.
Wants to know what Sheepy's saying.
Sheepy, what do you say about it? No, he says he doesn't shake hands unless it's like a boss or something.
So
he
just anybody. Gives, right. Yeah, he's not saying a gender thing.
And I think that that's a smart thing to do, and I'm kind of the same way.
I agree
but
with that.
But more men offer their hand first.
And you're saying the only reason why you're shaking more man hands than woman hands is because they're the one offering. It's not anything that has to do with you.
Right.
You're not making a choice not to shake her hand.
I'm making a choice to not offer. If you offer me, I'll go there. If you reach in for the kiss, I will begrudgingly lean in. But I let people know in small talk as much as I can that I don't like kissing.
Oh, see, I think nobody has ever leaned in for like a – I don't think I've ever had a stranger lean in for a kiss.
Yeah, all the time.
You don't say
maybe it's just that I'm a magnet for the chicks that
probably.
They always want to kiss,
handsome,
and
so damn good looking.
And you have nothing but vegetable or fruit on your breath, so they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I can't believe that you've gotten this far without getting a stupid fake kiss. Those things irritate me. Those are the worst.
Well, I'm gonna give you one after the break.
I would rather shake someone's hand than get the hug. The stupid hug thing that everyone does now is more. It's supposed to be
the half hug.
Yeah, even that manly half hug, pat on your back, and like violently bump each other's chest, and then slam your hand on the person's back. It's dumb. I'd rather shake your hand. I can't believe you don't touch a woman. What is wrong with you? That's really weird.
I do now. I touch them all the time now. I go grab it
in their hearts. I think you touch them when you talk, when you let them know things, like on places like Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
You're listening to Best in Show Radio on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. for the DJ New Style Show.
As you know, in the Germ Freak household, Tuesday night is pizza night. Okay, I'm fed up with pizza. I told my wife, listen, don't worry about me. I'll get my own food.
You've forsaken pizza night. You went out on your own.
Listen,
where did you go?
I tried to get a healthy dinner. Okay, I went to a diner in the area.
Healthy. Bastion of health.
I think it was healthy.
A diner.
I got a Greek salad, and I got myself a cup of coffee.
Coffee.
Got my Greek salad, three quarters of the way through it, and lo and behold, because I have no luck, I find a fucking hair in the fucking... And it can't be my hair because I'm fucking bald and I have long sleeves on. Then is the clincher. She says, would you like a refill? Would you want more coffee? I said, sure, absolutely. She charged me for a fucking refill of coffee. I've never been to a fucking diner where they charge you for a refill of coffee. Never. They usually fucking put it in there.
Do you want to give the name?
I want to call these fucking people now.
You want to call them out? What's the name?
I want to call this diner.
Oh, you actually want to call them?
I want to call them now.
Good evening, diner.
Yeah, how you doing? I got a quick question for you. I was in there earlier, and I ordered a coffee, and I've been to your place numerous times, but they charged me for a refill of coffee. Is that your policy now, or?
You have the check with you?
Don't get me wrong. If that's your policy, that's fine. I just was taken aback because I've never been charged for a second cup of coffee before. But if that's your policy, that's fine.
Listen, my friend. We don't have any policy. This is not a government operation. They have policies and stuff like that, you know?
We'll show you the bill, and you'll reimburse us for the second cup of coffee. All right? All right, take care, buddy. Businesses have policies. Wake up. And the mints have jizz on them.
The DJ New Style Show is live every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. The thing to do with your ears and the place to be. You're listening to Best in Show Radio on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. Join us live every Friday night for The What Show.
How do you date someone for that long and not want...
That's a long... I mean, after 7 years...
Kat and I didn't get married till we were together six years.
My mother and father's marriage was, you know, retarded.
Right.
Like, they loved each other, but they were stupidly married. So me and my sister never thought that it meant anything.
Does it mean something now?
No. Does it mean a goddamn thing?
Oh, Pat.
It doesn't. I'd still be with him if
it doesn't mean anything?
No, it doesn't mean a goddamn thing. It's an annoyance.
But I mean, you draw strength from your bond.
Wow.
That's it. It's a useless...
That's horrible to say. It means nothing.
Have we been closer since we got married?
I think so, yes.
Why?
Because it meant something to me.
How? You really think that us getting married like meant something?
Yes.
Did you ever propose to me?
Why is this such a crazy concept?
No.
Did you actually thought getting married meant something?
You proposed.
Dumb motherfucker.
Silly.
No.
I twicked you.
Silly fool.
I twicked you.
Fooled you!
No, how many times are you going to ask me?
Do I have an engagement ring?
No.
Did we get married in the church?
No. I didn't want to half-ass it. It would have been done correctly in the future. And I would still like to do it that way.
Okay, in the future we'll do it that way. I felt I was married to him 5 years ago. Like, when we moved in together, for me, that was it. I was his wife. If anyone ever asked me, I was married.
I agree with you on that. But at the same time, being married means something.
It's convenience right now. It's just convenient.
Your marriage is a 7-Eleven.
The What Show is live every Friday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on HearUsTalk.com. The thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
It's Best in Show Radio on Hear Us Talk, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
Third time's a charm.
Sounds familiar. I think three strikes, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know what?
Stand up triple.
We had a little conversation on the way home last week. We were discussing baseball trivia. I was trying to, you know, test these guys out, see what their baseball metal was like. And I was thinking...
I'm starting a new band called Baseball Metal. We're going to be heavy as hell.
A new band or just a new style of music?
Well, I think tomorrow night's going to be for the first practice. It's going to be awesome.
And I started thinking, you know what? There's probably a lot of trivia I don't even know. Where can I go to find this? And then I remembered the original internet video chat software with thousands upon thousands of communities based all around the world is also a trivia haven, and it's ICU2.
Oh, man, ICU2 really is. It's the jack of all trades of entertainment.
ICU2 really is great. You can go over to ICU2.com, download your free trial, be connected instantly to thousands of people around the world. There's so many good features, I'm not going to name them. I will name the old standby, the panic button. I love the panic button. When you're watching somebody show something in a chat room, like, you know, I don't know, some
doing
when,
stuff
when someone's showing their features off and you want to, you know,
I'm shy. I don't need to see that. I hit the panic button. I'm nervous. Make it go away. Say to me, I don't even care about all these great little amenities. These are just bonuses. These are the accoutrements. These are the cherries on top of the cake. What it comes down to, on top of the pie, cake, all of it. Pie and cake and cherry all together. To me, it's the best video chat software there is. It's the original. I'm not mixing them together. Don't worry. It's the best video chat software there is. It's the original. It's the best. You go. You talk. People all over the world do it. Just go to ICU2.com. That's ICU and the number 2. Those are letters, then the number 2.com. Go there. Download it. Windows or Mac
Chris,
now.
Chris, calm down. I know you love ICU2, but just take it easy. Nah, don't. Go ahead.
It's good. Okay?
ICU2.com. Go there right now. Download your free trial. Pay for it because you know you're going to want to.
Why wouldn't you?
Who are you kidding?
Well, yeah, do the free one. Try it first. Get in. You get hooked. Then it's 2 for $5 from that day forward, and you're going to die from it. You'll wind up overdosing on ICU2, the greatest video chat software ever.
ICU2, it will kill you, but it's awesome.
Come on. What do you mean? I don't
understand
what that
means. ICU2 is a big party. ICU2 is a big party.
Oh, man. ICU2 is a tremendous party. Speaking of tremendous parties, we've said it before. June 5th, Hoboken. We're going to be at a bar in New Jersey called Green Rock. It's we got all the details out there. It's on Facebook. We'll make sure everybody knows about it. Just head over to RadioBronzeFans.com, the forum, and you can learn all about it. It's for Frank's 40th birthday. Frank Germfreak from the DJ Newsdale Show. By the way, DJ Newsdale Show every Tuesday night here on HeroesTalk.com. We heard them during the commercial break, as well as the Watch Show tomorrow night. That's Fridays here on Heroes Talk 9:30. Also, the Awful Hour. They've made their return. They've been consistent with their semi-weekly or bi-monthly, whatever. Every 2 weeks they do a show, and it's Wednesday nights here on 9 p.m. It gets played. You're shaking your head. Is it
semi-weekly?
Semi-weekly, I think, means twice a week.
Doesn't bi-weekly mean every other week?
Yeah, it's bi-weekly. I'm sorry. Not
bi-weekly or semi-monthly.
Well, it just so happens that often it's semi-monthly, but it's not necessarily semi-monthly. Like they might get, if they go every other week, there might be a month in there where they only have one or have three. I mean, that's just how it rolls. It's kind of random.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
That's how it rolls Steve Winwood style or Oasis
that's,
style?
You know how I roll.
I, whatever it is, it's the Awful Hour, it's the DJ Newsdale Show, it's the Watch Show, and it's Best in Show. You know what? And it's also hatestalk.tumblr.com, our buddies, as they do their fine review of all the crap that happens here. And they do their own stuff as well. You got to check that out. It's all good talk radio, fun stuff. But yeah, like we were saying, party, June 5th, it's going to be dope. Everybody should come hang out.
I'm not going now.
But it's going to be dope. All right. We be illin' at this party. It's going to be...
How many heads are going to be there?
The mad peeps are going to be representing up in there. It's going to be fun. Come hang out.
It's in Jersey.
It's in Jersey. It's in Hoboken. $30.
That's not Jersey.
$30, all you can drink for like 3 hours, from the hours like 8 to 11. It's going to be nice. Even some top shelf stuff in there too. Not all the top shelf, but most of it. It's going to be really good.
How does one sign up for that $30?
When you show up at the bar, you say, hey, I'm here for the Heroes.
I want to sign up. I want an online sign-in sheet.
Okay, that doesn't exist though. Make one. And then once your name is on that list, when you show up there that night, you just say, hey, I'm here for the party. And then they'll say, oh, okay, I'm here for the Heroes Talk party. And they'll say, oh, okay, here, $30. Give it to me. Here's your bracelet.
Can you just stand at the front door and make people sign their names on a piece of paper?
Are you going to, and then I'll auction that off when somebody finally answers what documentary had an argument about fashion being art.
Yeah, I can't believe that you're offering a gift out there to the people. We are offering to pay and no one has called in
yet.
There
was a huge, huge hint unintentionally dropped earlier in the show. I'll say
now
that
you're
much.
Just making it obvious.
They still won't get it.
What, when we said this is Spinal Tap, let's hang out? Is that the hint or not?
You said that?
No.
Oh. No, I didn't say a mockumentary.
Sorry. I get it confused. I get everything confused sometimes. I don't know. Call in or don't. You know what? Any guess. Whoever the next person that calls in and guesses any movie, just the first person that does it, we're paying for your $30. There you go. How's that? Does that work for you?
That sounds good.
It's going to be so great when we get dial tones for the rest of the show. Still people, Hoboken, I don't know.
It'll be new style. New style will be the first caller.
Yes, I can pay. I don't know, but it's going to be a good time. Actually, I talked about trying to get out tomorrow night. It's like a warm up, trying to hang out, get some drinks. I think our buddy Keith Fu was in. It's going to be nice and good time. I think I'm already out of that. I'm done. I have no desire to go out anymore.
You know what's amazing? I've been falling asleep before 8 o'clock.
That's the mornings for you. You got to wake up in the morning and work. Job sucks, doesn't it?
It's killing me. The fact that I fell asleep, and it's Friday night. Last Friday night, I was all psyched. All right, it's Friday night. I'm going to have some drinks. I'm going to hang out. I was out by 8:15. two nights ago. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Last night, I laid down at like 10 after 7, or maybe like, you know, like whatever, sometime in there, and I woke up this morning. It was amazing. But I felt good. I felt good when I got off the bus by my job because I actually had like some energy, but it's amazing. It knocked me the hell out, just so. That was my little two cents.
I've been
glad you added them.
I've been working in the mornings this whole week and it's been killing me. Like basically my sort of routine is to stay up until a ridiculous hour in the morning playing video games.
I know that. I see the text.
Or working on some sort of computer stuff. But now, like, I'm actually getting work through some people to go out and fix their computers, and they want to do it during normal office hours, and I can't tell them, well, I'm not going to wake up for until noon, at least.
2 a.m.?
Early.
I'll be by 2 a.m.?
I don't know.
You guys have some whiskey for me?
I'm not sure if you're aware, but Red Dead Redemption came out this week, so I'll be by around 3:30. Thanks.
So, yeah, now I have to actually wake up in the morning and go to their like place of business, and I'm a mess. I'm just an absolute mess. And I can't get on the schedule. I can't go home. I'm exhausted. I can't get home at 8 o'clock at night and go to sleep. I still have to stay up and...
After a day when you suffer like that, though, yeah. Do you go home that night and then sleep normal? Or you're still an insomniac and stay up to the same time?
I end up staying up too late. Like, I'm so worried about my sleep schedule that I want to take a nap just because I'm exhausted. But I'm worried if I do, then I won't be able to sleep that night. So I fight my way through it. And once I'm on the other side... I just don't go to sleep.
Well, the thing
I
is,
just stay up until 5 a.m.
Last night was different because during the week I don't usually go to sleep when I should. During the week, I'm usually up late, and that's the reason that on the weekends, for some reason, I relax. And on the night that I can finally stay up, I'm just out. You're probably out. Also psychological. It's probably like when you wake up on your day off and you're ready to get up, but if you wake up at the same time and you have to go to work, you don't want to. But I don't know. I like to sleep.
I get up all the time. I love it. I try and do it at least once a day. No, I have no problem getting up. Even on my days off, I love it. 3 hours sleep, I'm good with it.
Days off, I like it because it's like, wow, I'm off today. I need to spend this whole day. So let me get up now and start enjoying it, which means do nothing. But.
Work days, no problem. I played Warcraft until 5 o'clock in the morning on Monday night and got up at Tuesday morning, no problem. And went about my day. I have no problem.
What if you were drinking?
I think I was. I do believe I was, actually.
That I haven't tried yet. I'm not going to try that.
You could do it.
I'm not going to try that with a new job because I used to go to sleep at 4 in the morning, yeah. Drunk, and then have to get up for work at 7. And I would just sometimes I'd be fine, but sometimes I would just be like, I don't even understand what's happening right now while I'm standing at work with just pain in my head.
I used to be a trooper. I can't do it anymore. I need like a full day to recover. The day after is shot for me. I just can't go drinking during like the weekday anymore.
I feel like a douche saying it this way, but I think maybe once you have kids, you train your body to not sleep anymore. I really genuinely believe that you get used to not sleeping from having kids and getting up in the middle of the night all the time. Because once that happened, like, I've never gone back. Really, I'm not going to say I've never gotten 12 hours sleep since my daughter's been born. It's happened, of course. But more often than not now, I'm cool with 3 hours a night pretty consistently for the past 7 years. No problem.
And it feels good. You're fine with it. You wake up in the day and it's not bothering you.
Used to it.
Yeah. See, when I can't sleep, that's not to say I feel like miserable.
That's not to say that sometimes I don't go home and sit on my couch and close my eyes and conk out for a half hour and then come back. But like, you know, but that's about it. Like a half hour, I'm good to go.
Dude, on my way here, I was next to one of those guys in the subway, crowded subway. And damn it, I'm not getting up. I'm sitting down and I'm going to play on my iPhone for a little while. And one of the really tired, sleepy guys got next to me and he did the little like every 5 seconds, he kind of like falls asleep and his head goes down. He's leaning.
Punch him in the face.
I wanted to.
Throw his baby out the window. Is that what you're supposed to do?
Getting more and more angry every time he does it. And I'm trying to like, I'm shuffling. I'm like giving him little nudges to like make sure he wakes up. And he kind of wakes up and looks at me and he sort of blinks at me or gives me a face as if he's apologizing. And then 30 seconds later, he's
wait,
like,
what? He winks at you?
Like he doesn't say, I'm sorry, but he kind of goes,
sorry, bro. Wink, wink. That's what he's doing. That's an apology?
It's a facial expression of like, you know, I'm an idiot. Sorry. And then, you know, he just without saying I'm sorry, whatever. And then he goes right back to sleeping on me.
It's hard to. Ugh. You know, speaking of the bus, I just want to totally throw us off here and bring something up. I noticed there's something new.
Talking on a talk show? Weird.
I notice it in Staten Island, but also in Manhattan. There's something called Guido Chic that I like to call it. There's nothing called Guido Chic. I like to call it Guido
Chic. I was just going to say, I like to call it Gweek, but...
No, not the Gweeks.
Okay, sorry.
And I noticed that, I don't know if it's because of things like the Jersey Shore making being a Guido so popular.
Oh, boy.
But I've noticed now people are really, especially on Staten Island, are starting to over Guido. And I don't think it's genuine.
Guido pride.
And I've grown up around a lot of Guidos. I've grown up around a lot of Guidos.
I'm going to tell you, you're insane. I think Staten Island, you think that now, in 2010, Guidos are getting popular on Staten Island? I think that's...
I know it's always been popular. I think now they have a new sense of... I think for a while, a lot of Guidos were like, kind of like, hey, F you, I'm a Guido.
I'm grunging it up. I'm not really a Guido, Mo.
But they were also like, oh, F you,
I love Pearl Jam.
I'm a Guido. But deep down, they were kind of like, I'm a little embarrassed because I know I'm a cartoon. I think now it's like, you know what?
I could have a TV
Snooki,
show.
Snooki, the Sitch, you know? Like, I this is my crew now. There's a guy that's always on the bus behind me. He's probably in his early 20s, this guy. And he's always on his phone right before, like right near the end or right before I get off. I don't know where he gets off, but he's
whispering,
always on his
right?
phone.
Like quietly.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Talking about science, actually. and he says, yeah. Yeah, it's me, whatever. Whatever this check-in call he does with whoever it is. And he's always like, all right,
whatever,
mint.
What?
All right, mint, bro. And the way he just says, all right, mint. It's just, this
is that
guy
how he
is
says
acting-
goodbye? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. All right. Or like before goodbye. Or he says whatever, peace for goodbye. But he's like, all right, mint, bro.
All right, mint, peace. What's wrong with that?
I've heard it a lot. I've heard it naturally come from people. But for some reason, this just seemed fake to me. Then I'm in CVS and there's three dudes totally guidoed out looking at hair gel and their hair is completely over the top. And I said, you know what? I think Guido pride is coming back for these guys. I think that's what it is. But then I also noticed people like in Manhattan that definitely aren't real Guidos suddenly having like there's definitely dudes walking around with like, you know, like that spiky haircut. And that's been a Guido thing for a long time.
It's a good look.
And who's the guy on Jersey Shore that has that ridiculous spiked haircut?
Sid Vicious. I think Sid Vicious is the one who invented it.
One of the guys on that show has that haircut. I don't remember the show enough.
Paulie D.
Okay, there you go. And he's mint, by the way.
Of course he is. He's adorable. He's adorable. He's mint, and he's a great teacher.
Fedorable. <Yeah. laughs> But I definitely see dudes like trying to look like him. And again, I know there's dudes that definitely look like him. But for some reason, I really think that like a lot of these guys are just like getting like into the like. It's like, you know what? That's a good thing. That's what I'm going to be into now.
By the way, our buddy Pristine, by the way, drummer of the new group that's coming soon, but we'll talk about that later
mint.
On. Has mentioned in the chat room how he loves Keith rediscovering the world now that he's out in society again and working, like just discovering, wow, there are Guidos around here in New York. This is great. I can't believe it.
No, I was rediscovering Staten Island every day. I was in that part of the world.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe you live in a sheltered area of Staten Island where there's the big, as Steve LaRocca was saying, a big Guido renaissance happening or a big Guido coming out party.
I haven't heard anyone say mint in like 10 years.
Dude, you did a radio show with Rob Giggs for 2 years.
He didn't
you
really say mint.
He 100% did. He went on, dude, when I got into my...
We let him produce our show.
When I was obsessed, let him. Oh my God, do I miss that. I'm telling you, genuinely, when I was into my watch phase for that 6 minutes that I was obsessed with watch, he was explaining to me, oh, I got a Movado, I'll sell you, it's mint. Like, totally
well, maybe
serious.
Maybe he was actually saying it's mint condition.
No, it's mint. Like, it looks
no,
sick.
You want to believe that's what he
I guarantee
like
you.
Maybe he was selling comic books or something.
I guarantee you he was not stamp collecting and letting me know that it was a pressing that hadn't been touched by human fingers.
Perhaps
he
was
saying,
offering you a breath.
I know. Bobby G was saying mint to refer to a flavor or a quality. He wasn't saying that it was mint.
Is that how baseball card swindlers, Guido baseball card swindlers trick you? Hey,
mint.
I got a Mickey Mantle rookie card. It's mint.
Literally.
No, I just meant it was awesome.
Exactly. Well, Mickey Mantle was, bro. The mint. He's mint. But in all seriousness, yeah, exactly. Walter Sobchak points out he's seen his car. He is a Guido. Yeah. He says mint, not to refer to quality, not to refer to flavor, just to say like, yo, flavor, quality, mint. Mo, it's mint.
I'm sure he must say mint. Yeah.
Yeah, and this, I don't know. I also heard this dude say, oh, no doubt, bro.
What's wrong with
no
that?
No doubt.
Love that band.
I'm saying that I think you've been turning a naked eye to the Guido culture that's here. That's 100% here.
It's all over New York City.
It has been
for a while. I suppose that they could be witnessing a resurgence as a result of local TV celebrities. It's been weird as a person who doesn't live in Staten Island to go into Staten Island for these shows, particularly on public transportation. It's kind of like almost as you approach Staten Island, everything gets a little more Guido-y.
Minty. It's a little minty.
Guido's had a different thing going on. Some of them were even adopting like a hip-hop look almost.
You might be right. That level of subtlety is missed on an outsider. When I go in, it's just all of a sudden, it's like, wow, this whole island is a cartoon. It's like everyone's yeah. and it's all.
Shut up.
Like
you're
that.
In Brooklyn. Shut up. Go through Bay Ridge and tell me it's Staten Island.
There are plenty.
Yeah, he doesn't consider that Brooklyn.
That's right. Stop it.
It's the same district as Staten Island.
I'm not saying that Brooklyn
is not someone walking around with a guitar on their back reading Nietzsche. It is not Brooklyn.
I'm not saying Brooklyn is not a cartoon, but it's not the cartoon. It's a different cartoon than Staten Island.
Walk down 92nd Street and try and convince me of that. Yeah, walk down 86th easily, Street and try easily. And tell me that. You're ridiculous.
You don't count.
You're from Albany. Get out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. Hipster.
It's mint in Albany.
Maron. I don't know. I think it's again. I don't think the resurgence is there as much as you think it is. Whatever. It's Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com. Here and Heroes Talk. You want to be a part? You can call us. Whatever. Don't. I don't really give a crap. 347-767-4BIS, or just ignore us. I was at work today, and I still am apparently. And a buddy of mine actually had a little incident happen to him today that I wanted to share, and actually wanted to ask you guys your opinions on. On it.
You've got a little story that you'd like to share with us, and maybe if we have similar feelings, we can interject.
That's what I'm hoping to do. I was going to tell a story that I consider to be an anecdote. I don't know if you'll find it amusing, but I did. I'm going to tell it. Please try and enjoy it. So I go to my buddy's office, this guy that I work with, and he's not in his office, and the shirt that he was wearing is laying across the floor of his office. A nice button-up shirt, like a gentleman, laying across the floor. And I know he went out for whiskey last night. He had whiskey. He went out to a whiskey bar. Actually, the gentleman that we spoke about earlier, the guy who came here with his wife, it was his birthday, so they actually went out drinking the night before.
Did you say he went to a whiskey bar?
He went to a whiskey bar.
Okay.
I'll show you the way to it if you'd like, if that's what you're going for. But no, he –
just never heard of a place described as a whiskey bar.
It's actually – it's called like the Whiskey Ward, I actually think is the name of the place. It's specifically a whiskey bar.
Whiskey-a-go-go?
I think it might be. But no, I really believe it's called the Whiskey Ward.
Okay.
Is what it was. But it was specifically a whiskey bar was the thing. And I know they went out drinking hard the night before. I go in there and his shirt is laying on the floor of his office. I'm like, what the hell? His dress shirt and then his t-shirt.
And it's not Chris.
is on behind. Yes, I know. It's weird. And as I go into his office, the shirt is smeared with some sort of green all over his shirt. I'm like, oh my God, this son of a bitch threw up on himself at work. Or threw up at his desk and then wiped his face on his shirt. That's filthy.
No, you just throw up on your – sometimes you just throw up on your shirt. That just happens.
I was repulsed by him. Of course. That's why I think you're disgusting. The fact that you say it's just something that happens, that's why you're gross.
You go to the whiskey bar.
I know, apparently. The whiskey ward. But so he comes back. He was out having a cigarette, and he comes back, and I'm literally standing in his office with my arms folded.
Does he have a shirt on when he's outside having a cigarette?
He has a different shirt when he's coming in on. He seems to be a little more dressed down when he's coming in, so I'm figuring, like, he was a little worse for wear after the puke, and he dressed down for himself. He's walking back, and I'm standing at his desk with my arms folded, you know, like nodding my head in disapproval. And he's like, what? What's going on? I'm just like, dude, you drank that hard last night that you wound up throwing up? He's like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, why is there a shirt on the floor of your office like this? He comes, no, dude, that's actually bird crap. He was walking down the street, a bird crap. The fact that I created this whole story, I convinced myself he threw up on himself is great. But
bird crap?
Well, it was green. I didn't get a real close look when I walked in.
And was it an eagle? Like, how big is this thing?
It's a tremendous amount of bird crap. To be 100% honest with you, I have the shirt in the next room.
Oh, no.
If you want to inspect it. But the shirt is laid out there, and it's just – it was a tremendous amount. And like I said, since I thought it was puke when I saw it, I like didn't get close because I didn't want to smell like that Parmesan cheese smelling.
Oh, but bird poop, you're in.
No, I didn't say that either. I stood away. I stood away from it because I was like, oh, I don't want to know anything about it. I didn't inspect close enough. Now that I know it's bird crap, okay, it's bird crap. And he has it laying on the floor. I'm like, wait, dude, why do you have it laying on the floor there? why is it not in the garbage pail right next to it? Are you actually planning to wash this shirt?
Yeah.
And you're going to wear a bird crap stained shirt later in life? And Brian, you've already said yeah, so obviously.
Yeah, you wash it. I mean, if the stain doesn't come out, yeah, you probably have to. It becomes a painter shirt, or you throw it away. You're not going to wear it out in public.
Well, we recently established who would wash, who would, you know, who would keep clothes that were, you know, peed on. I think we discussed this.
Did we?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just realizing now. I remember.
You wash clothes.
All right, let me cross this off the topic list for tonight, because I didn't remember we had this conversation. What do you mean?
I think we were trying to say, it was a while ago, but we were saying what is washworthy and what. You know what?
You're 100%
right. What
can
be washed?
Oh my God, that was when Fred was still on the show, almost, or is that just me memory?
Who?
Oh God, I missed. Is that me memorying? By the way, that memory is.
I think
now
you said, "Is that me?" Okay, yeah.
I don't know. All I know is I couldn't understand not throwing away the shirt.
That's silly. That's just.
But
silly
that's.
Talk.
But yeah, I mean,
our buddy, the Hutch, was actually standing there with me, and he said that he said the same thing as Brian. I was like, "No, you're ridiculous. Of course you wash it." And then, as I said it, this buddy threw the shirt in the garbage. He gave it to my peer pressure to throw away the shirt.
Oh, just filling up our landfills. You and your.
It's cotton. It's biodegradable, right?
Right. Exactly. So just throw it away and go buy a whole new one. Just, or you could wash it, and it'll be gone tomorrow.
You don't think it'll be a stain of bird?
Do you know the filth that comes out of your body onto your shirt every day?
Yes, that's why I don't. That's why I don't hold pens after you, because I know the filth that comes out of it.
Right, but not you. Like, you don't sweat or filth out of your
yeah, I'm kind of gross.
Do you ever look at your underarm?
I do not get armpit stains the way that you maniacs do.
I think that's how it started. Fred's cat peed on his clothes, and we were trying to discuss whether or not it's worth cleaning. And if your cat pees on your clothes, you're throwing it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
What about your kid pees on your clothes? Like your kid had to have vomited on your clothes.
Yes.
Or crapped on your clothes,
yes.
Probably. You threw it out.
No. Kids, my kid's different. It's a different what? I guess it's a different set of rules that go on in your head, I think, when it comes to your kid. You don't get skeeved out the same way.
What if she pees on your cat?
If she pees on my cat? No, if my daughter pees on my cat, yes, I'm throwing the cat out.
You throw the kid out, I think, at that point. What are you doing peeing on a cat?
What do you do for fun in your house? Oh, TV, sorry.
Yeah, you wash clothing.
Awesome.
That's just ridiculous.
By the way, Sheepy is going to be peeing on my cat for the Chipcast. It's going to be fantastic. It's terrific. It's coming soon.
Silly that you like.
But a dress shirt, I feel like dress shirts are going to get stained then.
If it was stained, you can't wear it again.
You want to know where the shirt is? You want to see this poop shirt?
Oh, right,
you had it. I thought you had it, didn't you?
Oh, well, that's the thing. He threw it out. Then like an hour, like maybe a half hour to an hour later, I see that it's not in the garbage pail anymore. I'm like, you're going to keep it, aren't you? And he's like, no. The thing is, since it's lucky, I was going to go buy my Powerball tickets with it in my bag and then throw it out. I'm just like, dude, you're going to keep it. It's okay. Like, you don't have to prove anything to me. If you want to be a filthy, disgusting, bird crap shirt wearing guy, go for it. He then said no.
You peer pressured him into.
Yes, to not be gross.
At least buy him a new shirt.
He makes way too much money for me to be buying him anything, okay? He's a
That's
director.
That's what this is about, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Oh, do I know who this guy is?
I don't know. I don't know if you do or not. But no, he makes enough money that a shirt isn't a big deal for him, I don't think. Or maybe it is.
Was it a special shirt?
It's his lucky shirt, apparently.
Oh, it's the special one with birds.
Then he started thinking it was his lucky shirt because it was like, oh, it's the lucky shirt. I'm going to go buy my Powerball tickets because it's good luck when you get crap.
Oh, yeah, I think that's why it was the lucky shirt.
And I was like, yeah, dude, stop it. You're ridiculous. It's a shirt and it's fine. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would just throw it out.
That makes me...
Don't get me wrong. I would just do what I've been saying I would do all along.
Thank you, Walter Sobchak. Peer pressure to improve personal hygiene is a good thing.
It's not improving personal hygiene. It's destroying the earth by throwing things away that shouldn't be thrown away.
I'll be dead in 6 years anyway. What do I care? I'm going to get the shirt. And when you see
I'm not saying I'm going to put the shirt on and roll around in it.
When you see this shirt, you're going to realize, oh my God, there's not a washing machine on earth that can handle it.
You know what I think bothers me about the crapped on shirt is like, the crusty weirdness, because I feel like I'm gonna throw that in a washing machine and I'm gonna take it out and there's gonna be like cleaned, dried bird crap.
I can't believe this is happening. I really don't want to participate
in this. My problem here is I don't know how to take this out without for fear of touching the bird
yeah
crap.
Yeah, yeah,
get a new hand.
No, you yeah, throw your hand out. No, you I'm certain I wouldn't throw it into the washing machine with it covered in bird crap.
Now you're going to scrape off the washing?
Yeah, I'm washing it off.
Oh, okay. Now you're getting crazy.
I'm washing it off in like the bathtub, then the sink, then it dries, probably laying on my floor for a little while.
He's holding it up to the camera.
How it looks on camera. Oh.
And I can't wait to see it. You're going to have to show it to me because I can't.
He's holding it up to camera. And I mean, I'm a foot or two away. Oh, boy. Now I can see it on camera, but I can't see it. Oh, it's on the other side.
Let me see. Oh, I'm throwing that shirt away. Oh, no, there's more.
Yeah.
There's more up in the corner.
It's like on the elbow.
It looks like cat vomit.
It definitely, it doesn't look like a bird. It looks like a small human crapped on it.
An eagle.
That's what I was saying. But no, it's not white or bird-esque in its crap. It definitely looks like human beagle.
I think that shirt's getting thrown out.
No.
I apologize.
You wash it off. You can wash it.
That's a lot. That's a lot of. I was thinking like the white that's on the windshield.
That's a lot to ask of a washing machine to wash this off.
You don't do it with a washing machine because now you've got filth all on your stuff. You wash it off first and then you put it in the washing machine.
But the slightly speckled white on the windshield of bird crap is what I'm thinking of. That looks like a brown, green, smeared, weird crap. Yeah, really, what was that?
I don't think it was a bird. I think he made it.
There really wasn't a guy standing.
It was
on
a New York City pigeon, which was, I think it was believing in the Guido resurgence or Renaissance. And he was just like, hey, yo, I'm crapping over here, type of thing.
You know what's wrong?
He's just a big pigeon.
He's mixing his fruits and his vegetables. That's the problem.
That's most likely it.
No, I suspect if you press this guy a little harder, you might find out some information that you haven't yet. That I don't think that's bird crap.
It 100% is. He gave me the specific story that he was walking and someone didn't like to walk. The guy that he was with didn't like to walk while smoking. The guy likes to stand while he smokes.
So there's a proof.
So they had to stop and stand, and they stood by like a ledge of a building, and a bird. They saw the bird that did it. He looked up and see the bird crapping on it.
I know who you are.
I remember that face. Well, that ass, whatever. Yeah. So he got that. That's it. I'm sorry. I think you throw that shirt out.
No, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's not an entertaining thing. I certainly wouldn't want to put it on and walk around in it all day.
Brian, please feel free to take the shirt because it is trash as far as he's concerned because I peer pressured him into it. It's now your new shirt. You don't have to wear a black t-shirt. You can wear a bird-stained shirt.
Brian, stain's coming out.
I would like you to do something, Brian. I would like you to cut the bird crap areas off, throw those out, and use the rest as rags because you don't want to use paper towels. And clog up a landfill.
It's true, actually. And I use way too many paper towels.
There you go. I think that's exactly what
I
think
that's
exactly
what
we
should
do. Maybe
that's what I should be doing with all my rags. No, I'm not taking it home. I mean, it's not my responsibility. I didn't purchase it. I'm certainly not. If I get rid of my own stuff and I hold on to it forever, and yeah, I do use them as rags and so on and so forth. And if a bird crapped on me, I'm washing it off and I'm wearing it the next day.
You're disgusting.
Or the next week.
You're a disgusting, disgusting human being. But what do we expect? That's what we get from you here on
You're
Best
silly.
In Show.
That's
BestInShowRadio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, thing you do with yours, place to be, Magical Wonderland, Fantasy Cavalcade, all that crap. We're on Pal Talk. We're on Heroes Talk. Call us or don't. I don't care. As long as I'm talking about people that I work with and things of that.
347-767-4BIS.
What's that?
The phone number?
For what?
To call?
Nah. I don't believe so.
Not a mint.
It's not a mint enough number for it. But
next caller gets a $30 ticket in.
They don't care. They don't care. No one wants to call the show. I'm not concerned. That's why I'm done with the phone. I'm canceling the phone service. That's it. I'm done with it. So as long as I'm talking about people that I work with, and things I do, we've talked about in the past the idea of loaning things to people and getting things loaned to you and needing recommendations and stuff. I actually made a couple of recommendations of a few things to people that I work with, and I've gotten some feedback on these things that I've recommended to them, and I feel really badly about the whole thing, and I think I want to apologize, Brian, because now I know what it's like to be the person who said, try the ice shirt, you'll like it. Because I am blown away and depressed and disappointed to find out that a coworker friend of mine who I loaned who I told to buy Chuck Palahniuk's Survivor read it. And
did he read it or did he just read the back cover and get halfway through the table of contents?
No. They, like me, they tried to read the book. They really, really tried. No, she actually got most of the way through the book and she's still reading it, but she's like, yeah.
She's not still reading.
It's gotten slow. It's gotten really slow. No, because she's citing specifics about the story that are towards the end of it. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to get to it. But it's just like, I'm not really into it
so
anymore.
So she got past paging it. She got past page three, then, is what you're saying.
Right. Like I said, she's really trying it. Right. The same way I did with the ice shirt. I tried to read that book. I tried, but I got so bored.
At halfway through the table of contents.
No. That was page one. There was a drawing of a map.
You know what bothers me if I recommend something to somebody and they don't like it? Maybe I'm so arrogant about my own tastes, but I feel like they didn't. My first reaction is usually, yeah, they didn't give it a chance. They listened to like half a song on that album and turned it off, or they didn't pay it. They had a conversation while they were watching that movie. That's kind of how I feel when somebody doesn't like something.
Exactly right, Keith, and exactly right, Brian. They didn't get it. She just doesn't get it. This is such a great goddamn book. I'm going to put it in my top three or four books of all time now. And I understand there's not a sense of history here because I only read this book, you know, maybe 6 months ago, a year ago. But it's such a great book.
He's kind of a writer for dudes, though. Like, he kind of, like, I haven't read a lot of his stuff, but the handful of things that I've read by him, it strikes me as, like, kind of guy
stuff. What have you read?
I don't even know now. The collection of short stories where...
I don't count that, because that stuff is intentionally over the top. The one where he does the public readings of, where he tries to make people
we
puke.
We have a winner.
Awesome. Joining us on the ringing thing, on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, who's this?
This is Walter Sobchak, sir. How are you?
Walter Sobchak, you're flying to Hoboken in 3 weeks, and you've got a free entrance to Green Rock Saloon, Green Rock Bar. I don't know what it's called, but the Green Rock for Frank's 40th birthday.
And if you can name the movie where the fashion art argument happened, you'll get your first drink free.
On top of the free drinks?
Wow. Well, that's quite an offer, considering the fact that, what can you say?
You just have to fly in from Texas. No big deal. So what's up, buddy?
Well, actually, it's kind of interesting. Y'all talking about a subject that, you start talking about books and whatever, and I'm a big book reader. But I, to be honest with you, well, you can hear my monsters probably in the background.
Of course he reads big books. He's from Texas. Everything is bigger down there. So, yes, you're a big book reader.
Yeah. But over the years, I just don't have a lot of time. And as I mentioned on my show, Hate Us Talk on Monday nights in the Hear Us Talk radio room of Pal Talk, I discovered audiobooks. And I finally got to read some Chuck Palahniuk. I read Fight Club. And I, not only a big Palahniuk fan, the whole audiobook experience was absolutely amazing. Go ahead.
I don't subscribe to the audiobook thing so much. Maybe it's because I have so many podcasts and radio shows that I listen to that if I'm going to listen to something talking, I'm probably not going to go there. But I have listened to a couple things here or there. Like I did a couple of the atheist books that I got into. I read that way just because they were easier to get.
Anton LaVey or something like that.
No. Specifically atheist stuff. Not
like the Bible.
Right.
it's not bad. But it's funny. Like, I didn't think I would subscribe to it either, considering the fact that I spend most of my time listening and reviewing podcasts. Now I spend a lot of time just listening to radio. That I didn't think that I would, but I find it amazingly engaging. And with the guy reading it, inflections, I find myself engrossed because I say long commutes. Y'all have a long commute. Mine's like long distance. I drive a long distance, so, you know, a 40-minute drive, you got time to kind of sit and ponder. It's kind of nice. I don't really encourage other people because, kind of like you say, you give somebody, hey, try this out, and they don't like it, and you're like, well...
I will say there's something about an audiobook when it is being read by the writer. There's something compelling about that. Like I got the David Cross audiobook, and I actually liked hearing him read it, but that's also because I like him as a comedian, and I'm thinking of him doing it like stand-up.
Yeah, right.
I will say I've gotten through a handful of audiobooks and I've enjoyed every one so far that I've gotten myself into. Of course, it was ones that I've already knew I was going to like because I was either familiar with the author or I knew what it was going to be about. But I really don't see it as reading. Like it doesn't feel like the same experience as reading a book. And maybe it is because someone's reading, like, it feels different. I don't think it's dumber.
You're cheating.
I'm not even sure. It's like when you read, you don't hear the person's inflections. You're making them up your own. You're kind of figuring things out. You're learning almost. And when you're listening, you're just kind
of spelling it out for you. They're spelling it out for you.
It's like sugar substitute. You know, it doesn't taste as good, but it works. You know, it's okay.
It's different.
You make it through it.
I enjoyed it for what it is, and it's entirely different to me than reading. And I don't think I'd sit down and...
Sheepy buys the book when he buys an audiobook, and he does it like it's reading along with it. He's listening to the guy reading and following along. That's actually a pretty interesting concept.
I must try that.
I feel like you're going to be going slower then, though, because you can go through words in your head faster than someone's going to say them to you.
I'd like to do that exercise with the author, if the author's reading it, because I'd like to see how he's
invite him to your house?
Yeah, just to hanging out, to the whiskey bar.
Get comfortable.
No, I mean to say, like, in his reading, if it would be different if he'd omit some words or add some.
I got a question. If you take audiobooks and you say, okay, I would like them to the author, how about, like, DVDs where they have, like, where they
director's
have
commentary?
Talk about, you know, and the thing is, like, for example, I watched Goodfellas, and they have listening to Scorsese talk about it was the worst thing ever, but listening to, like, the hood, the criminal.
Joe Pesci? Ray Liotta? Henry Hill?
The actual guy.
Henry Hill.
Yeah. Henry Hill talked was fantastic. Because he was, you know, living all of that. It was fantastic. It changed the movie. It absolutely changed. Listening to him talk about all the people. But the author, you know, in that sense, listening to the director talk about it, it's more of a production. Like, well, this is, you know, how we shot it, and I'd rather hear where it came from.
Well, some directors get into, like, where it came from as well. I guess if they didn't have Henry Hill around, knowing that that's going to be the backup, they might give you a little more information. It's not always about lighting and like, audio. You can get a good director who can do really good commentary.
Depends on what you're looking at. Depends. I'm sure that they're all of them out there. I'm the audiobook thing, like I said, I do feel, as much as you don't think of it that way, I do think of it as cheating. The director's commentary, I look at it almost as, like, a supplemental thing.
I agree.
Whereas I guess the audiobook probably should be the same thing. I would look at it as a supplemental thing, unless, like, again, I don't want to keep referencing the same David Cross audiobook, but might also understand my audiobook experiences are limited.
We'll pick up the David Cross
book. It's so good. He drinks for a reason. It's a really fair. You know what it is? It's my exposure to audiobooks is limited. I've done that, and I've done a couple of atheist things, which I'm not gonna start plugging Christopher Hitchens and stuff like that here.
Does he read it himself?
Yes, that's what I was saying. Yes, David Cross is.
Oh, I don't think I could listen to that guy's voice read a book.
You don't listen to David Cross?
Yeah.
You've never listened to his stand up.
No.
Oh, he's hilarious.
I've never watched a show.
You watched him in Chipmunks, and it's like...
He's fantastic. You know. He's fantastic. He's maybe about the best stand-up... one of the five best stand-up comedians that's alive. I think he's terrific.
Yeah. That one.
Write it down. Chris is saying it.
It's true. I'm telling you, go. You know what? This has turned into a commercial for this. Go get the audiobook. He, in the book, makes fun of you for listening to an audiobook.
There you go.
It's terrific. It's great.
He's made a... How very Brooklyn of him.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah. He invented self, making fun of yourself. It's great.
Wow.
Hate Us Talk made it to here.
I will definitely, you know what?
No.
I
would like you to do a supplemental podcast this week of you ripping down David Cross. That's the next thing I want you to do.
In fact, not only that, not only supplemental, I'm going to even do you a favor. I will write my review on the HeroStock.com/forum.
Ooh.
And
I go there by going to Radio Bronze Fans. Nice.
Now, what happens, Chris, when Walter Sobchak comes back and says...
For the bookcast, by the way, as White as Brent is suggesting, the bookcast coming soon from Walter Sobchak, being produced by Keith and Veal Chop from The Awful Hour, going to be producing the bookcast. It's coming soon.
I'll do bookcast, just like filming me.
You want to go books?
Just filming me reading a book.
Yeah,
just
obviously.
Silently to myself.
Just listening. No, you with headphones on and audiobooks only. I just say that. And, like, shaking your head every now and then. Ah. but don't let the people hear what you're hearing. I love the idea.
I love it brings up in my head George Costanza telling the NBC excerpt, no, we read on the show. You read on the show?
I love the idea. Steve LaLarpa is going to get David Cross to critique the radio criticism of his audiobook. Nice. It's coming soon.
Well, what I was going to say, Chris, is what happens when Walter Sobchak comes back and says, what a stupid
I will be much like I was when this young lady told me that she's starting to get bored of Survivor by Chuck Palahniuk. I will be disappointed when Walter Sobchak says that he does not like this David Cross.
You know Walter's
book.
Not going to get David Cross.
I don't like know that.
What do you mean? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean David Cross is a different it's a different flavor. It's
might more sophisticated.
It might seem a little strange to someone from your locale, from your general location.
I want to say right off the bat, for the first time in my life, not for the first time, but for one of the many times in my life, I'm going to agree with Spickle. You're like kind of an egotistical jerk New Yorker.
Yeah.
You really are terrible.
Well,
why could he not understand David Cross's humor?
I live in New York, but that's not what makes me egotistical or a jerk.
Okay, but what is it about being, you know, about Texas?
Walter Sobchak is not going to really enjoy David Cross's comedic styling. And for that reason, I would suggest, not that he doesn't get it. I fully think that Walter Sobchak is going to understand every joke that David Cross gets. But I don't think he's going to find it funny, because it's a sort of humor that I suspect he is. You just won't get it. You're not going to like it. That's my prediction.
Okay. Well, I'm.
You know what?
I guess I'm a challenge now.
You know what? There you go. Sheepy says it. Since Walter did win this contest, and he is not going to be able to make the trip to Brooklyn, yes. I personally, or Best in Show, will purchase the audiobook of David Cross's I Drink for a Reason for you. Absolutely 100%.
Nice.
And there you go, Walter. You're the big winner. I'm going to purchase that for you on Amazon or iTunes later on tonight. I'll talk to you. We'll figure out which way you prefer to get it. And you let us know what you think about it.
I hope I'm wrong, Walter. David Cross is a great comedian.
Yeah, I'm well aware of the man, and I'm sure I will enjoy it.
I do think that he will enjoy it, and I do agree that you are a jerk. I agree with my assessment that you are a jerk, and I hate you.
All right. Well said.
Well, gentlemen, I can't wait for y'all to go back to a 3-hour format, but I'm really enjoying the 2-hour format. Y'all seem to be attacking it with a little more energy and
vim and vigor.
Digging the show. Yeah, vim and vigor.
Excellent,
you know.
Buddy. Well, thanks so much. We
all
really appreciate it.
Excellent. Absolutely. Talk to you later.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Walter.
Hatestalk.tumblr.com. That's him and our buddy Jimmy J.J. Walker, produced by our friend Crazy Monk. It's a good time. You got to check that stuff out. So, it bummed me out that this girl's not into Survivor, and it made me mad that I recommended it in the first place. It's going to bum me out if Walter does not like the David Cross book. I can't imagine a person not liking it. It's hilarious.
Is Survivor a dude story, or is it more?
I think it's a beautiful story.
Right.
I can't say. I think it's bigger than just dude.
Huh,
okay. I think it's one of the five best books I've ever read in my life. I love it. It solidified Palahniuk in my mind as being a great author, and I've read a lot of stuff since then. I've read like, you know, five or six of his books now, and I've enjoyed them all, but I haven't enjoyed any of them as much as Survivor.
Yeah, this is the one.
That was the one. And it wasn't the first I read either. I read Choke first, which was great. But this was the one that did it for me.
You know what's funny? I was in the library the other day looking for stuff to take out, and for some reason, his books, I know they're better than this, but I feel like I'm taking out like dime store novels. Dime store novels. I feel like I'm taking out like Dean Koontz paperbacks. And it's not to say that
that's just because of the marketing. That's all. That
I was going to say, I know they're much better than that, but it's just the idea that for some reason, like, I've been on this thing where I feel, and I know it's so stupid, but I feel like I should be reading I don't
Ulysses.
Know more. Yeah,
there you
exactly.
Go.
And
up.
I know it's so pretentious to think that.
It is.
I know.
By the way, Sheepy's asked me to name all five best books. I arbitrarily threw the number five out there. I'll say Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut. If on a Winter's Night, a Traveler by Ludovico. I can't pronounce his last name. I'm trying to think. I can't come up with them. But these are all for the bookcast. We'll figure that out. But
we got a book section in the forum, don't we?
We should. If we don't, we'll put it there.
Then we're going to have to read.
But it's like, yeah, you
Tropic of Cancer.
You recommend like
stuff?
Yes, I don't know what happened there. You recommend stuff to people, and you get so excited about something that you want them to, you want them to feel the same thing about it, and then it's almost like. But let me ask you something.
Deflating.
Do you feel like me? Like, do you think it's like, wow, I guess it's not for everybody, or do you think like this
they
person
don't get it.
Doesn't?
They don't get it. The girl, a different person that I recommended Twin Peaks, the TV show, to, and she said, I don't know, maybe it's just like it's too 90s for me, and she's young. And she's like, yeah, it's like it's such a 90s show, I can't really watch it. I'm just like, yeah. And this is someone that my kinship with her was founded talking about Lost and her liking Lost. I'm like, all right, maybe this will kind of work for you. And just couldn't care less about it. Just didn't. I was just like, all right, forget it. It defeated me and deflated me and made me feel crummy. And I feel like, she doesn't get it. And it doesn't mean she's a bad person. It doesn't mean either of the people are bad people. It's just, they don't get the same thing that I'm getting out of it. And that hurts because I care about these things.
You know, a lot of it, I think it bothers me not so much when it's a popular thing, when something like Twin Peaks or something like Chuck Palahniuk's books are not being accepted by the people that I recommended to, but weird things that don't have an audience already. I feel like I'm kind of there on the front lines helping to build the audience for it. And if they don't like it, I feel like I failed at selling this really good product to this person.
But do you get mad then when suddenly the audience is built?
No. When I was a kid, I used to do that a lot.
I mean, I don't know lately if I do anymore. But I think one of the first things Chris and I ever discussed on Best in Show was that's mine. And, you know, like getting mad when other people suddenly, you know, like, and I
it's,
guess
it's a fine line. It's a fine line. Oh, man, I want you to love this. I went, wait, don't love it that much. This is, I gave you this.
This is mine.
This is, yeah, you can't take this from me. You can't but yeah, I think I'm past that. I think I want people to run with me and hold hands as we could talk nicely about these great things like Twin Peaks and David Cross and Chuck Palahniuk.
See, David Cross kind of like that used to be a thing where I would give someone like one of his stand-up routines.
I got news for you. Brian is the person that gave me Shut Up, You Effing Baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Shut the F Up, You Effing Baby, whatever, something like that. He's the first person that introduced me to his stand-up. And that's like 15 years ago.
I was pushing
like that
hard because he was this great comedian that no one was really kind of listening
Brilliant.
To. And oh my God, he's got this record. It was pretty cool. And if people weren't liking him at that point, I think I would have been disappointed. Because now I don't care. If he's so popular, he's rolling in the dough, I don't care if he doesn't have an audience because he's going to survive.
By the way, I guess you didn't turn me on to it 10, 15 years ago since it came out in 03 as Sheepy's Boy to get in the Power Block Room. But yeah, same difference.
Yeah.
What do I know? What do I know about anything? As White as Brandon is saying, give it 2 weeks when Half Pint Brawler starts on Spike TV. I'm going to be really into midget wrestling and pushing that. So what do I know? I don't know anything about any of this. I think it's time to end, right? It's time for us to say goodbye to the radio show.
It's been
show.
Time for like 2 hours now.
Awesome. You want to turn my volume on so I can actually play the outro music?
Okay.
Discreetly? Look, now people don't even know. Why don't we hear it?
Because I'm dumb.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for hanging out with us for 2 hours. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Special thanks to our friends Walter Sobchak and Sheepy for calling in and being part of the program. Don't forget tomorrow night, The What Show, Monday night, Hate Us Talk, Tuesday night, The DJ News Show, Wednesday night, The Awful Hour, and Thursday night, back for this piece of crap again. I don't know, tomorrow night, maybe we'll hang, maybe we won't. I don't know.
ICU2.com.
Yeah.
Come on.
June 5th, we'll be hanging. That's it, right?
Hanging with ICU2.com.
Hell yeah, son. June 5th. Green Rock, Hoboken, come hang with your boys. Cocky Sucks, Steamroller, Roll Over Face. We'll see you guys on the radio. 88. Peace.
Mitch.
Brian, do you know who this is?
No. I'm supposed to know this.
The next person who calls into the show and knows what this is, I'm going to give $10 billion to.
Yeah, no chance of me knowing.
It's somebody that you like. But not somebody that you like as a musician. Turn it up a little bit, because I have it cranked on my MP3 player. And you have it cranked up there too, huh? Good. Got a minute and 30 seconds to figure it out. No, Spickle, it's not Axl Rose, but good guess.
I don't like him.
I'll give you another hint. the ICU2 commercial, that was also the same artist. No Steve Larper, not the Violent Femmes. No White House Band, it is not 311. Someone that's not known for music, Mary points out. Not the Toasters either.
Obama? So it'll be really easy to figure out who they are by listening to their music.
45 seconds, you got to figure it out. Christine, it is not Don Johnson or Homer Simpson. White House Brent, it is not Hasselhoff. Stickle's not A-Rod.
It's the bearded comedian, the fat bearded comedian. Zach Galifianakis.
Brian? No, not even close.
Zach Braff.
15 seconds. Get ready with that sweeper, Brian. Skating prodigy, Ray Barbie. What?
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.